Ryan, thanks. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to Wednesday, the middle of the week show.
It's hump day. Happy humper.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I like Thursdays better than Wednesdays.
You a bigger fan of a Thursday than a Wednesday? Any particular reason? Because Welcome Back Cotter's on?
Oh, remember when it was so good? Remember when life was so easy? You only had like three shows to decide what to watch.
Three channels.
I know, there are too many choices now. And Kevin keeps hurting himself. What did you do to yourself?
Whacked my elbow.
He's bleeding. We have to have a triage unit.
It's all because the wedding's coming up.
And I have an incident myself, and I don't even know if I can bring this up because I think it violates HR.
Oh, well, then please do.
I'm wearing white pants, and anytime I put on these particular white pants, they're very white. See them?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, they're white cargo shorts.
I always say to myself, I'm going to spill something on them.
Oh, I see what you did.
Yeah, there's ink on them.
You dropped a pen right on your pen.
Yeah. So I don't know at this point. There's ink on me at the most inopportune place. So I don't know if it's better. I have club soda, which you're supposed to dab it with club soda, but then my pants are all wet in the same inopportune place. So is it better to have ink there, or is it better to just be all wet there? You tell me.
Well, it's just me and Kevin and Mike, the intern.
Right.
So no one cares.
And all of the internet.
Well, no, right. Just stay seated. Don't show your area. He doesn't put his area right on the camera.
There's days that I do. I don't know that today would be my best day to do that.
Dr. John Duffy's coming in. He's quite aware of your...
Do I want to be embarrassed in front of Dr. Duffy? I
don't. He's a clinical psychologist.
He's probably seen weirder than that, I guess.
I'm sure he has. Don't you... can't you borrow Kevin's Tide stick?
Oh.
Kevin notoriously spills. I feel bad for him.
On a daily basis.
I know, and I'm married to a guy that does that too, so I got him a Tide stick to throw in his briefcase, and it's weird because he works from home now, but he still has one.
I need like a hazmat suit when I eat lunch.
You know, you got to learn how to lean over. They teach you that when you go to your first baseball game, when you're eating a hot dog, you have to lean over so if the mustard drips out, it doesn't drip on you.
Yeah, well, then it just drips on like a lower portion of my leg.
No, you spread your legs and lean forward.
There's a lot of moves going on here.
Take that, Nick DiGilio.
That got saved. Yeah,
you got it, Nick.
I have one of my best friends refuses. You know how it's customary when you're eating in a restaurant or even at home, you want to put your napkin on your lap. One of my best friends, I'm not doing that.
It's to protect yourself.
It's to protect yourself from these sort of incidents.
Right. You should start wearing a napkin or a skirt.
A giant lobster bib. Everywhere I go.
But tie it around your waist, not your neck.
Every time I see Bill, he's got a lobster bib on. That's weird.
We're getting him an apron.
I would, if it said something amusing.
Like what?
I don't know. If it was the right apron, if it had the right phraseology on it, I might take you up on that offer. But now my whole day is ruined because I'm just going to be covering myself.
You're going to walk like a naked guy in the shower, you know, covering his
everywhere
area.
I go on the elevator. Sir, you have clothes on. You don't need to stand that way. No, I do. I do need to stand that way.
Can I just tell you something? You say I miss too much information and I offer way too much information about everything. Had you not told me, I never would have noticed because I don't stare at you there.
But now, that's the thing. That's why I was reluctant to tell you or anybody. I've told everybody now.
Now I can't stop looking at you there.
Well, maybe it was by design. Maybe that was my plan from day one.
Donna, Bill is a pervert.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to argue with that.
thank you.
However, I do have some pervert treatment.
Now,
actually, if you put hairspray on the ink, that should take it out.
Hairspray's better. Some Alberto VO5.
Yeah, that's too greasy. You just want the straight hairspray. It doesn't matter what it is.
Really?
And it kind of I've tried it. It works.
Yep, but won't there be a giant sticky spot in
there
that area
that,
instead
there?
Of pen?
Next to the other one.
All right.
It shouldn't leave a spot. It should just kind of, you know, wipe off. I mean, you could put a little bit of water. Hell, it'd be better with a spot of water than a spot of ink.
I think so,
it
too.
It doesn't draw much tension. I'm sorry I said hell, didn't I?
No,
who cares?
We all lost our monitors for a second. What about this, though? Isn't club soda better than regular better than water? See, I'm all flustered, Wendy. I don't know what to make of it.
Club soda is good for grease.
Oh.
I have hairspray.
All right, maybe I'll use that.
I mean the DVD.
Oh, yeah, did you bring that? Well, I brought Grease in, so we could watch two movies today.
Well, there you go. There you go. But no, Club Soda is the Grease.
All right.
So you try the hairspray, and I'll be listening and see if it works.
I hope it does work. This is very nice of you, Donna. Thank you.
That's quite all right. Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
I'm not an expert here, but I think hairspraying the crotch of your pants is good intern work.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
It's almost last day, I mean.
Do you just let it sink in, or do you have to rub it?
Now you're just being ridiculous.
No, I'm asking a question. On. I know sometimes you're supposed to just blot things.
Right. Right.
I have hairspray, and Kevin has a Tide stick. If it's really bothering
you. I bet between those, I don't want these pants to be ruined.
Oh, my God. They're not going to be ruined.
I've lost more than one pair of pants to ink stains. I really have.
Bill, it's not like a pen exploded. It's a tiny little skinny mark.
I know. Yeah,
it's
I
about
know.
The size of an ant.
Right. Right.
It
All
is.
Right.
What do you want? We have both.
Which do you honestly think would be?
I've never heard the hairspray. I would try the Tide stick because if it doesn't come out today, at least it will pre-treat it. So when you wash it,
and no club soda.
I would just drink your club soda if someone didn't steal it.
All right, I can do that.
Kevin, you've spilled everything on. It's usually when you wear a white shirt. By the way,
yes.
You announce it when he walks in. He just gets the Tide stick out. It never fails. Mm-hmm. Have you used the Tide stick on ink?
I'm not sure that it works on ink, actually. I think it says
it
outright.
It has to. Really? Because you would think that would be one of your bigger stains. For some reason, in TV ads, whenever they're talking about stains, they always mention iodine, and I'm always going, I've never met anyone in my life that has an iodine stain anywhere. But they always go, it gets out chocolate, it gets out grease, it gets out iodine. And I go, thank goodness. All my clothes are marred with iodine stains. I don't even know if we have iodine in my house. Why would you have a big vat of iodine somewhere?
Well, it's to clean wounds. You usually have some in the first aid kit.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'd know iodine if I saw it. I don't think if I saw a vial of something, I wouldn't go, it must be iodine.
Everybody's saying hairspray.
That's the way to go? Yeah.
I'm hesitant. And then everyone's saying hairspray except this one listener has cautioned us. Don't use hairspray. It will make it stiff.
Yep. All right. We need to take a court-ordered break. We'll be back in a little bit. It's Bill and Woody WGN.
We're in punch. Is it charm? Is it poise? No, it's hairspray. What gets a gal asked out to lunch? Is it
Come on, we can fix it with jazz hands.
No,
what doesn't music cure, Wendy? I don't understand it, but it does. Thanks, everybody. A lot of people wanting to come to my rescue. I have somehow gotten ink in a terrible place in my pants. Terrible, terrible place.
Carrie, it's in the crotchal region.
Yep.
So you say use the hairspray, huh?
Use the hairspray. I've used it several times on ink. It just dissolves it. And it doesn't leave a mark or anything. Just go ahead and do it. It'll dissolve it. It'll dissipate.
Breaks it up. It breaks up the compound of the ink. All right.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
Jane, do you concur with Carrie? You say hairspray works?
Yes. This is Jane from Oak Forest. Hi, Jane.
This is Wendy from LaGrange.
You're the mom of one of my best friends, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Yep.
I listen to you all the time and haven't been able to get through before. Anyway, I've used it for a number of years, and it does work. I think I've used the aerosol. Now they have a lot of pump hairspray.
Oh, don't use the pump down there.
Nope.
Okay.
I can't keep logging these times, guys.
And also, I think I would wait until you got home because I found that you do have to work with it and it does get wet. And
would that be the worst thing in the world at this point?
Nick DiGilio should just run the whole show open.
That would make the day go faster.
anyway, but it really does work.
That's all I have to say.
I've tried it, and it was the aerosol one.
But, Jane, if I left the ink stain there all day, doesn't it become more difficult to remove?
Well,
no. Carrie's still on the line. Carrie, you say that the spot just kind of disappears?
Yes, it breaks it up. It'll be fine. Yeah. And it doesn't matter when you do it. The spot will disappear,
but you're going to get it wet. And you have to work with it a little bit, and you have to take a cloth and rub it, and it does.
All right, you do that. I'm not touching it.
I won't want to come back for the second half of the show.
So sorry about that.
That's all right. Don't be sorry.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Carrie. We appreciate it. Everybody's coming to your rescue, and Vito has an idea, too. Vito, what do we do?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Bill, Big Spender Bill. Why
yes.
don't we, at during the break,
yes.
get rid of the pants and just
right.
buy new ones?
Oh, these are some
your
of
best.
My favorites. I don't want to lose these.
Best shorts.
They're
well,
white cargo shorts.
Yeah. They're white cargo
just say
shorts.
That.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time we get rid of those, Bill, and just buy new ones.
What, don't say
Vito,
that.
Vito, do you recommend polyester? What?
I think so. Maybe you can go to Goodwill. He's probably got a friend upstairs in the newsroom.
Judy
Pylak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Judy will take you for a little field trip today.
All
what
right.
do you think?
Maybe. That might be what
Thanks,
I need.
Thanks, Vito. Did he say field trip?
I thought he said field, but I could
oh, okay.
be wrong.
All right. I have two wrong. Selections of hairspray there. I have
the
one.
The Pantene.
I don't like that one. That's
Pantene
why it's
Pro
full.
Pantene Pro-V. It is full.
And
it doesn't make that noise like when I was a kid. If you
that
if you'd
spray
shake,
paint,
yeah. That, oh, I thought that was hairspray.
It might have been back in the day.
I think Alberto VO5 when you used to shake that had a little. I always imagined there was a peanut in the bottle. Who put the peanut in the bottle of Alberto VO5? But now when you shake, hairspray,
that
has
a little shake noise.
Mm, just because it's more empty.
All right, that's Rusk. That smells better, and I. That one can be brushed out. Like if I put it on and then tease my hair, I can brush it out. So that would leave less of a residue, I think.
All right. So use the Rusk. That's the more high-end one.
Yes.
The better one.
It smells better. Plus.
I shouldn't really care about the aroma, really. Because there might be only a handful of people that get to experience that. All right. Let's try
this.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Well, you're popular.
Now, what do I need to do? You said I needed to take a Kleenex or a napkin.
You're supposed to pour hairspray on it or gasoline and then light it. Wait,
no,
no.
That's not right at all. Why is Kevin videotaping this? That's awkward for several reasons.
Because we're going to put it online.
Is this for your own personal use, Kevin?
Yes,
that's weird.
He spills all the time. He wants to see if it works.
It seems out of character, but all
it's
right.
It's the alcohol in the hairspray that takes out the ink, but sorry, it doesn't work with booze. They say use alcohol, which we have here too, or hand sanitizer. So
all
we
right.
have...
There's every option between the Tide stick and the club soda and all kinds of hairsprays. You have a lot of hairspray.
I know.
I feel like I'm at George Michael's house.
I have very fine hair, and I don't mean fine. Wendy, have Bill put a piece of paper towel or tissue on the inside of the garment. It's not a garment.
No, it is.
When using the hairspray. So you have to stuff your pants.
I already do. We're halfway home. That's why I get stopped by TSA, I bet.
Listen, I'm not going to blot it, but I will spray it if you want, because I have a feeling you're going to miss the spot. You're looking down.
I know, but I think, isn't my aim, it's more...
Your aim is true, I get it.
My aim is true. I think I trust myself more with this.
All right, we'll try it. So you got to stand up.
All right, so I need to, don't videotape this part, because I have to put Kleenex inside. I have to,
all right, and we'll
I have
put
to put
this,
a layer of Kleenex.
I know it's a
I don't
visual,
want that on the
but
internet.
A lot of people take. Watch the show on right. WGN Radio. You can watch it. He's sticking stuff down his pants right now. I have to look away. And we will also make a video of it and put it up on our Facebook page, WGNRadio.com.
All right.
God, Bill.
It took me longer than it should have, didn't it? All right.
A lot
so
of
now
space
just,
down there.
Yeah.
All right. You all should right. stand up, though, because you should right. Hold the...
Oh, I see the spot now.
It's
see
not it? That big. It's oh, my God. Just spray it on
yeah.
there.
All right. So how far away do I need to be?
They're not saying, but all it right. needs the alcohol, so I would say kind of right on it.
Oh, it feels like a summer day. All right. Now, it made the ink. Look what it did to the ink, though. It made it much brighter.
Oh, it's going to be way worse now.
It is way worse. It's way worse. More hairspray?
Like a lot more.
Look at how... Like now, you'd notice it from
well,
across
it's,
the street.
They say it's dissolving the ink, and that is what it's doing. It's spreading out.
Yeah.
Spread out.
But look at look
yeah,
at
I know.
How
we'll spray a little more right on the
kids
spot.
Looking. Stop looking.
Right
kid.
On
there's
the spot. God, it's way worse.
Look.
It's like it's neon way, blue now.
Now it really
it's cubby blue.
I just got a text from Anthony Rizzo. That's weird, isn't it?
Ronnie Woo Woo wants to come and do a play by play.
All right. The more I spray it, the brighter it gets.
No, it's disappearing.
It is?
And by the way, don't hold the can upside down.
How come?
Because you're not going to get it coming out.
All right.
1026.
It is just completely dissolving.
But look at how bright the blue is
now. Yeah, but it's going to go away. It's just, you got a big-ass spot right there.
I know. Now it's wet and blue. Are you sure? Are the listeners fans of the show who called in or enemies of the show?
It's disappearing.
Now, am I supposed to blot it?
I don't know.
Could you damn your eyes? I don't know what that means. I've heard people say it. All right, now I'll blot it.
Careful. Gently, Bill.
No, I like it rough.
Oh, my God.
God. We're done. This has been our last show. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us. Is it going away?
At this point, why are you? I don't care. it doesn't matter anymore. All right.
I don't have waterproof mascara on. It's not going away.
It's not. All right. Like now, it's bigger and brighter blue.
One more spray, Kevin.
Do you think so? Really?
You got it. You got the whole frontal part. You got to spray right on the spot.
All right. Don't look.
I am looking.
All right.
Hold the can upright.
All right.
Do you need a cigarette?
More. I don't smoke. All right. Now, usually this was where I'd have a Tootsie Roll. Usually. All right. I think eventually, like if I kept doing
it's going away.
It is going away.
I swear to God, it is going away. Kevin, is it not going away?
I don't know. Yeah, it is.
Look at how.
You're not even dabbing on the spot.
No, it doesn't feel as good there.
All right, this is radio, ladies and gentlemen.
It was.
Everyone has suggested we use hairspray. Bill got an ink splot. And it's not even a splot. It was a tiny little line.
It started out as just a small line, but the more hairspray I've applied to it, look at how prominent
it is. It's gone away. I'm telling you, it's way lighter than I've ever seen it. But you got to spray it right on the spot
even
and hold
more?
The can upright.
All right, I'll do one more.
All right, I'm almost out of spray.
I know. I've used up all your hairspray. I feel bad.
Hold the can upright. There you go. Kevin, you're missing the best thing. Oh, all right. He got it completely saturated. I'm telling you, the blue ink is going away.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
Right. I hope you're right.
Absolutely going away. Now, Kevin, now look at it.
More blotting?
It's definitely working. It's definitely working. Kids, you can try this at home, not with a lighter, but if you have an ink splotch, it was just a little line of blue ink, and when Bill applied the hairspray, it got brighter. You got a pattern going there, don't you? Nice rhythm.
Am I the only one thinking about Margot Robbie right now?
All right, we got to take a break. We have news coming up next. We will give you the actual. It's totally worked. It's completely gone. But you have a big.
My pants are all wet now.
Splotch on your pants.
I know, but there is still. It's a bluish tint, though.
It's going away. Here comes Bertrand to check it out.
Steve.
He's going to put you on the Wintrust business lunch.
Oh, I'm tweeting this.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, I'm crying. We have to take a break. Ryan Burroughs news next. 720 WGN.
All right, a little bit of Olympic coverage. Ryan just mentioned in the news, and I'm not following the Olympics very closely.
I watched Simone Biles. I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah. She's a gymnast.
How do you say it, Ryan?
I think
Simone,
that's right.
You got it. Right?
That's right, Simone Biles. Yeah,
6. I make that 4 feet 8 inches tall.
That's all.
I watched this little clip. Somebody posted it on Facebook. It was Olympic coverage that she was raised by her grandparents. And the grandpa went on to explain that his daughter had some problems with drugs and alcohol and other things, and she lost Simone and her other daughter. There were 2 kids, and they were taken away. And so the grandparents said, you know, this is family, and they adopted her and her sister.
Oh, that's so nice.
And she calls them mom and dad because that's all she's ever
known. Oh, that's so nice. That's very, very nice.
It was really a beautiful little vignette I watched of her, and she is so unbelievably good.
Is it advantageous for a gymnast? I probably should know this, but I don't. Is it better for a gymnast to be that compact, to be she's 4'8"? Is that correct?
Most of them are
they're usually shorter.
Muscular.
Yeah.
And no ounces of fat on them at all.
Why would you get an advantage in being that small if you're a gymnast? I don't understand how the advantage works.
Well, I mean, tumbling. I mean, that. I mean, think about the coordination. I think is a lot easier for smaller people than some taller people.
Yeah,
she stood side by side. It was kind of cool during the opening ceremony. She was standing side by side next to some of the men's basketball players. You know, I mean, she barely comes up to their waist. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Think of an elephant doing gymnastics, and think of a hamster doing gymnastics. Who's going to roll quicker? Who's going to jump higher?
Is that one? I didn't watch much of last night. Was that one of the events last night? Did they have a hamster and an elephant?
Wouldn't you watch?
I would watch that, yeah.
The trunk kind of tripped up the elephant a couple of times. It was like a kickstand. It couldn't continue the circle. Oh. But pretty amazing. I saw, Ryan, you tweeted that every little girl right now is probably wanting to be a gymnast.
Yeah, I figured last night when everyone's sitting around the TV watching it, a bunch of little girls are going to say, Mommy, I want to sign up for gymnastics now. So
I wonder, do you think that spikes interest? Because when you're watching it on television and it just seems so glamorous and everything, I wonder how many kids who may have showed just borderline interest in any of these events all of a sudden say, I would love to do that. That would be fun to do.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, speaking just in this area, when the Blackhawks started winning championships, how many kids started lacing them up?
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, they weren't playing hockey before.
Yeah, that is very accurate.
These are artistic gymnasts, by the way. That's what they're now called. Artistic gymnastics.
They're not called So the phrase gymnast has now been replaced by artistic gymnast, or that's a separate thing?
Because there's rhythmic gymnastics, and that's coming up next week with the balls and the hoops and all. You know that one.
You'd where be they do good the at team. That with the ribbons, you know.
I'd love to do that. That would be a dream come true.
They trained in Deerfield at the Sachs Recreation Center.
Oh, really?
In Deerfield. Yeah, the team was up there. We got two locals who are in that rhythmic gymnastics.
Ryan's doing such a great job with these Olympic.
Definitely.
Little, what's it called? The Road to Gold?
Yeah, we'll go with that. No, it's Quest to Gold, actually.
The Quest to Gold.
Yeah. I like Road to Gold.
The Road to Gold is also fun. What's going on with the pool? You also mentioned this in the news. It's, you know, normally water is clear, but it comes in a myriad of colors there in Rio, and now some of the pools are using green water.
Well, no, that's not the case. The water turned. Yeah, it was. And I want everyone to understand, too, that these pools are actually outside. This is a single venue, and if you watch the diving and they kind of pan back, you can see the water polo going on in the pool next to it. Not at the same time, but that's the pools are next to each other. And it was yesterday we saw the diving pool turn green, or maybe that was two nights ago. And now today I'm watching men's water polo, and that pool has turned green as well.
Is this an advantage for the Irish team, Ryan?
Especially if they're not competing, probably not. But
no?
It's bizarre. It sounds like it's something that happens quite frequently in local pools as well.
Where? I've never seen that happen unless you
park
have
districts and
you have a blue water and yellow mixed with blue. Doesn't that make green?
It does, but...
So somebody must be, you know...
Someone relieved themselves in the Olympic pool.
It was only a matter of time, right?
But I've never seen a pool turn green when you keep it going with the proper chemical mixture. I mean, I'm thinking green, I'm thinking algae. That's not good.
Yeah, I don't think we have a flat answer yet. I haven't seen anything specific as to what this could be. It doesn't seem like it's impacting play, and it doesn't seem like any of the players, whether it be water polo or divers, are concerned at all.
It just looks strange, right? When you see it, it doesn't seem natural.
Well, you know, it is festive. It's Rio. It's Brazil. No. Those are one of their colors, right?
Right. True. All right.
Tomorrow, maybe it'll be yellow.
That's
I don't
true.
Know.
Let's talk to Kelly.
You posed a question, Bill, and I think Kelly has your answer. What
I was
your...
curious, Kelly, as to whether or not, like, during an event, a huge event like the Olympics, if that spikes a lot of interest in those events, if kids watching say to themselves, boy, I love watching this on TV. I hadn't thought about it in the past, but I would like to do this. You know a little something about this, don't you, Kelly?
Absolutely. I work for a gym, a gymnastics gym, and we have preemptively hired a lot of new teachers because we know that there's going to be a spike. We have seen that in the past. We have equipped ourselves well.
And then my guess is some of these kids probably stay with it for a very short amount of time, 6, 8, 12 weeks, but some of them go a year or two, and then you might get some that are very serious about it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you get kids who stay for the one session, and they decide, oh, it's not for me, but then we have kids who discover, I love this, and stick with it for a long time, and it can be competitive or it can be recreational.
Sure.
I had friends that were gymnasts, and that's just one sport I couldn't master. I played basketball, volleyball, softball, track and field. I could not do gymnastics.
And remember, too,
it gives a great opportunity for us little girls to do something, you know, powerful and fun, too. So.
And these girls and young women are going to be doing their tour after, as tends to be the case after the Olympics. They'll go city to city, and they'll do their tour. And I don't know who the sponsor is, so I don't want to say the name of the tour because I don't quite know who it is. But that kind of brings everyone face-to-face with the people they saw today. So that's also kind of creating another surge, I'm sure, in a couple weeks or a couple months.
Kelly, was there a time where you had Olympic hopes? Were you kind of thinking about maybe at some point trying to get into the Olympics?
Oh gosh, me personally, never.
No.
I mean, I love the sport. I adore it. Did it for many, many years as a young girl.
Yeah.
But no, I love watching the Olympics, but never had those aspirations. I was never that good.
Oh, all right.
And what is the advantage?
A lot of dedication.
And Kelly, you mentioned, you know, this is a sport for short girls. What is the advantage? Just that you can tumble easier.
Yeah, I guess so. I never really looked into it, but, you know, doing bars when you're tall, doing beam when you're tall, your center of gravity is much higher.
Oh, sure.
So to be on the beam, especially, it's great for smaller girls. It's just that center of gravity, really. You're more compact. You have more power in your spins and in your turns. So
I can tell you there's nothing more beautiful than watching these girls perform and then go on to get the gold. Team USA. Really amazing to watch this artistry on, especially the floor exercise. I love watching the floor exercise.
Mm-hmm. Me too, Wendy. It's just amazing. And the more power every year, it just seems like they have come up with new stunts and new combinations. And the power is just, it's incredible. It's incredible to watch.
This Simone Biles, is it Biles or Beals?
I think Biles, okay. I think.
Yeah, Simone Biles was doing her mat routine. They still call it floor exercise?
Floor exercise, yeah.
She was getting the height, and she did this blind landing. I mean, you should watch the video. I know you watch the Jesse White tumblers at parades, and they have to pull out that little trampoline thing to get the height.
Sure.
I cannot believe the height and twists and the perfect landing that she had on this routine. Huh. Unbelievable.
I know. It's otherworldly.
It really is. Thank you,
it's
Kelly.
Incredible.
Kelly, we appreciate the call.
Stop, drop, and roll.
No problem.
Drop, and roll. Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That's the best part of the song right there where there's no singing.
Well, he's gearing up to sing. He knows the magic that's coming.
All right, I want you to watch Simone on this jump. I mean, she gets so high in the air.
I don't know how you do that because there's gravity, and you would think that gravity would pull you down. But remember how Michael Jordan, when he'd go up for a layup, he just stayed up for twice as long as a human being
time.
Could? Yeah, she's got that and then some.
It's just unbelievable. And then congratulations to Michael Phelps. How many gold medals did he get? How many has he gotten so far?
21, I think.
Is it 22? Ryan?
Yeah, 21 total in his Olympic career. He already has 3 in Rio. That's
I can't
insane.
Believe this guy.
And going for 2 more, right?
He has 2 more tonight, and he now has more gold medals than, well, several countries. Ethiopia, he just tied Ethiopia for the most gold medal. Jeez. I mean, that country doesn't even have 21 gold medals. Isn't that insane?
How'd you like to be in Ethiopia right now and you hear that stat and you go, well, what, we got other stuff. We don't, we can't just be.
I think you just throw up your arms and say, it's Michael Phelps. What can you do?
And now I know that his mom has come out saying he has ADHD and he's had it and has overcome it and uses it to his advantage. And he's one of the poster kids or adults now with ADHD because it's okay. It makes you good in different ways. And he was also way into the pot.
He used to smoke a lot of the dope.
And
does he still?
Well, that's my question, because they do have to do drug testing for Olympics, don't they, Ryan? Drug testing?
Well, I'm sorry, say that again?
Michael Phelps was quite the pothead, and
he was.
He might do it off. I mean,
he was suspended, remember?
Yeah.
He violated the doping, not doping as though, you know, he was using steroids or anything like that, but yeah, using marijuana.
The original dope.
Exactly.
They should have, like, Hostess or Dolly Madison should have them as his spokesperson.
Well, you know what I hear? Here's the rumor. You know how all the athletes have been on the Wheaties box? Now it's Wheaties.
W-E-E-D-I-E-S?
Yeah,
Wheaties
it's
cereal?
It's a new cereal.
Yeah, all right.
And he is going to be on the box of
Wheaties. I like
Wheaties.
It. I really do. But if he's got this proclivity to smoking the dope, you would think that being in the Olympics would be a little bit stressful because you know they're testing him.
Well, so he obviously is not doing it.
I hope not.
But he's getting the cupping, and it just shows you how holistic he is. He likes things natural. Natural herb,
right.
Natural healing.
Right.
And it seems to be working.
He really is. I mean, I was trying to think of other athletes that were just kind of like the perfect athlete for their sport.
Bruce
like everybody
Jenner.
Said, well...
Bruce Jenner was so
I
good with that decathlon.
I think that's fair. You could put Bruce Jenner in there for the decathlon. But you know how people have said, this was a year ago before she lost the big fight, but Ronda Rousey, they said she is the most dominant athlete in any sport. But I would argue that maybe Michael Phelps is the most dominant athlete in any sport, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I think he is.
It's pretty amazing. And then I was watching, again, Facebook makes life so easy when you can just watch videos that people post from various places when you don't have time to watch all the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gymnast, I don't remember from which country, and he went up to the bar. He dusted his hands with the chalk.
Yeah.
He touched the bar and then walked away, and the announcers were going crazy, like, what is he doing? Oh, they've just forfeited. That's an automatic zero. And they were speculating. Well, it turns out the guy was injured and could not put in a substitute. So he just went there. This is a guy who's worked so hard to get to the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and he had some injury where he wasn't able to perform on the uneven parallel bars. So he just walked up there, acted like he was going to start, touched the bars, and then walked away, and he got a zero. It was so emotional to watch, knowing he worked this hard and was unable to do his routine because of an injury.
I'm confused as to why the whatever country he's from didn't send in some replacement.
I believe it was the Ukraine.
Yes,
correct?
It was.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't allow substitutions at that late of a date or something. So he had to get a zero, but instead of just being scratched, he went through the motions, and I thought it was really kind of a beautiful moment.
Right.
It
is a beautiful
moment. But the announcers were like, oh, my God, what is he doing? He gets an automatic zero, doesn't he?
Oh,
they
no.
were so uninformed, and I know it's all live and happening, and I know a lot of people are complaining because they're putting good events at like midnight or 1 in the
right.
morning, but there's
right.
a time change.
Is this true or fake? Did Chris Sale tear up some of the outfits? Did he rip? Did he bring in a pair of scissors and cut up some of the Olympic outfits? Or am I
Why
reading
do you that? Keep saying outfits? You're a boy.
Because it drives you crazy.
It comes so naturally.
I know, but I
Uniforms,
love
Uniforms, no,
I know
outfits.
I know it drives you crazy.
No, I say like, outfits, but you're a guy. I look to you sometimes to take the male lead.
Nah, I don't need that.
All
I don't
right.
need it.
Dr. John Duffy will be with us after the news.
I wonder what outfit he'll be wearing. Find
you can
out.
Ask him that.
I'll ask him about his outfit.
All it's- right. Clinical psychologist Dr. John Duffy after the news, and news is next, 720 WGN. We just want to drive everyone nuts with this terrible earworm.
Sure.
Bill did his homework, and over the weekend, he wanted to come up with a different Rio tune, and this is different. I'll give you that.
It is different.
And we're running it into the ground.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy with us. Bill left Wendy Snyder. Dr. Duffy is a highly sought-after clinical psychologist, best-selling author. The book, The Available Parent, is available everywhere. And how are you, John?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. I was talking about the Simone Biles and watching her perform. It's like she has springs in her legs. It's unreal.
She is amazing to watch.
And I also mentioned how she was raised by her grandparents, and the grandfather went on to say, my daughter had a bunch of problems with drugs and alcohol, and she lost custody of the kids. It was family. We adopted them. And there's footage of the grandmother saying, you know, Simone was always jumping around. She was a very energetic child, and there was footage of her jumping around the living room mm-hmm. doing like a backflip and mm-hmm. stuff in the living room. And she said, you know, I didn't realize just how good she was. And then I started thinking, did she push Simone
right.
or did Simone want to go to the gym every day? There's a difference.
It's a great question, you know, and some kids do have this kind of like press toward doing something. You hear the same thing about Michael Phelps. Like, you know, he had some attention issues and some, you know, hyperactivity. And once he was in the water, he couldn't get out. Like, you know, that this just somehow worked for him.
Yeah.
But some kids need some encouragement, you know? So I think a lot of parents ask themselves, like, do I push my kid if I think they're talented in the sport, or if I really want them to be, or if I was good in that sport? And I usually encourage parents to encourage their kids to do their very best if they're signed up for a sport and if they're committed for a season, and then let coaches take over. And this is something I learned on, you know, in my personal experience as a parent, but I see it all the time in my clientele, where we tend to either coddle our kids mm-hmm. or push them really, really hard. Like, you're going to be the
maybe
best on that
hard.
Team, maybe too hard, right? And when you let coaches take over, you're really like teaching your kids so many different things about resilience and, you know, life skills that they're going to use forever. You also take yourself out of the equation, and we're not very objective about our kids.
Sure.
So we sometimes predetermine in our minds whether they're going to be, you know, they're going to be the Olympic gymnast, or they're going to fail because, oh, you know, this is my clumsy one, or this is my slow one, or this
right.
is my heavy one, you know, and we prejudge them. When if they get in the hands of a coach might say, oh no, this is my perfect midfielder, you
oh.
know, and you yeah. just, you, we as parents have no idea. We might not know the sports as well. So I always encourage parents, like, encourage a sport early on and let the coach kind of drive the boat for a while. Don't over control the thing. Cause we tend to do this. We tend to hover and helicopter and try to drive the whole thing. And if we let the coach take charge, oftentimes they'll find something for our kid that suits them good enough, at
yeah.
least for now. Are they bound for the next Rio? Probably not.
Yeah.
But will they learn something out of that experience? Will they have a win here and there? Probably.
I was in high school athletics. I played basketball. My husband played football. So when our kids came around, we're like, they're going to be athletes.
Right.
And they did the little, I think you start out with soccer because everybody does that, your first introduction to sports.
Right.
And then Little League, and they both did it, and neither one of them loved it. And Jim and I were kind of surprised, like, why aren't they into sports? We loved it. So then you have them try and find their interests. My older son, Michael, is into music. He's like a wandering minstrel, walks around with the guitar all the time. And now my younger son, Dylan, has not found his passion yet. He likes video games. So then I'm thinking, everybody says video games are bad, but why don't I let him excel at what he loves? Maybe find a video game camp or something that he wants to be a movie director. Maybe some film classes. I mean, isn't it hard to find what your kids like and encourage them in what they like instead of what you think they should like?
Definitely. And just to hear you talk about Dylan, for example, you know, you can tell, like, he's got some interests. Sometimes our kids' interests aren't what we want them to be or what we picture. And we have trouble picturing, well, the road to being a movie director. Boy, that's a tough one. I wish
right.
you were into accounting, you know?
Right. That's a safer bet.
Sure.
Right. That's a safer bet. But, you know, if you have a kid going into high school or college, there's these activity nights. And I would imagine at Dylan's high school, where he's probably, you know, starting in the not too distant future, he'll be able to sign up for, you know, a film group or, you know, something to do with video games. And
that's when you blossom in high school, junior high and elementary school. They have a few things like that. But high school, you go to those activity nights with your kids and you let them see, wow, I can be an auto mechanic. I never even thought about that.
I can fly an airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked with one kid who's been into aviation forever.
Mm-hmm.
No other interests whatsoever. And when he realized, oh, by senior year, I can fly an airplane, boy, he was sold. I mean, he was president of that club for 3 years and
yeah.
engaged, you know? So we think sometimes that our kids have no interest or they're just couch potatoes.
Yeah.
But really, if you pay attention to what your kid does a lot of the time, even if it's video games, there's something to do with that.
On the same topic, John, let's say you sign your kid up for something and it becomes obvious after a couple of weeks that the child is not enjoying t-ball or volleyball or badminton. At what point is it okay to say, all right, we tried it, we gave it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it didn't play? When,
right.
when can you quit?
Okay, so my bias here is these seasons for younger kids
yeah.
aren't that long. For a kid, it feels like a lifetime, right?
Sure.
Especially if they're not liking it.
Exactly, right? So my bias is, you committed for the season, so we're going to stay with it for this season and get out of it what we can. I don't expect you to be the ringer on the team,
yeah.
but I expect you to participate, even if you're stuck on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
I expect you to be supportive. I expect you to participate in practices. This is where, you know, we build resilience and competence and, you know, like that idea that I can tolerate a little frustration and make it through even if I can't stand it. And that applies to a lot of things in life going forward.
Oh, yeah.
So my bias is usually keep them in there instead of pulling them out of
play
there.
The season through.
Play the season through. You don't have to play next season through,
right.
But play the season through.
But then there are kids that it's like pulling teeth, getting them to practice. And there are other kids that will get their own way there. They'll ride their bike. They'll get everything together and go. So when a personal battle comes up and you don't feel like making them go to practice, what do you do?
It's the trickiest thing, right? Because I know exactly what you mean. I hear about it all the time where it's like, oh, it's just pulling teeth. And you know what? I'd rather just not do it. But if you can get them there, even if it's under your power, I prefer that to not getting them there at all. Certainly the best case scenario is the first case, right? Is where it's their energy, it's
where
their
juice.
Where
they're saying, come on, Mom, I need a ride.
Yeah.
Practice starts in 5 minutes.
We're running late, Mom. Let's go. Yeah.
Never had a kid like that. For anything.
I always feel bad for kids. I saw this back when I was competing and then when my daughters were involved in sports. You know, I know that everybody's schedule is different, but I was lucky in that my mom was almost at every game I ever played. My dad was when work allowed, but there was always a handful of kids whose mom and dad and relatives just never, ever, ever came to see them play.
Right.
That's tough.
That's huge. I mean, you know, to make it a priority is as a parent is such a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, when I listen to kids who are 18 years old reflecting back on their athletic career, and by and large, those careers are over. You know what I mean? In terms of like organized sports, if their parents showed up or were involved and they knew they were supported, that meant something to them. You know what I mean? Like they know, okay, Mom and Dad are there for me no matter what, you know, unless work comes in the way or something like that.
Yeah.
But when they could be, they were there. They were assistant coaches or they drove me to my away games or something like that means a lot to kids, you know, to know they're fully supported in the enterprise. And you can imagine that, Wendy, what you were talking about a minute ago, like, I don't really want to go to practice. If you're not supported by your parents, that probably is going to be more likely to be the case than if you show up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think back, I played high school basketball, and my mom, I'm going to say out loud, she came to every game.
Did
I'm
she?
Sure she didn't.
Yeah,
but it
felt
sure
like
seemed like, you know, games would start. She worked till 4:30. Sometimes games would start at 5 o'clock, or sometimes she'd leave early. And I remember always sitting in the bleachers and watching. And in my mind, she came to every game. It may not have been, but even getting there the majority of the time, bottom line, don't we all try to please our parents for our whole life?
Absolutely. Right. It's a life sentence. And, you know, sometimes it's even after they're gone. You know what I mean?
Right.
I talk to adults our age and they'll say, you know, like, yeah, I still have my mom or my dad in my head and I know they're not pleased with the way I'm doing things right now. So, yeah, that's a life sentence, I think, no matter what.
John, when my mom used to come to watch my brother and I play, she didn't really know the lingo of baseball. So she would relay to my dad, like, she thought anytime you hit the ball, even if it was a foul ball, that it was a hit. So she'd say,
why aren't they running?
Billy made 7 hits today. 7 hits. What happened? Every time they pitched it to him, he made a hit. It was great. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then John Duffy is here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us, Bill and Wendy. You're a great clinical psychologist. You're a great author. I'm loving your podcasts on drjohnduffy.com and also on wgnradio.com. And you are a parenting expert. There are other people who have other questions. So if people need to contact you, how do they reach you? What's the best way?
On my website at drjohnduffy.com. You can reach me anytime.
All right. You know, we had Terry Nunn in here. By the way, I have to tell you, she emailed me and told me if I'm ever in L.A. to stay and hang with her. She gave me her number and everything. We've had a new friend. Lead singer of Berlin, and I went to have coffee with her after the show, and she said that, and this is weird for, she's around our age, and our parents seemed pretty structured. Her parents said they kind of let her do what she wanted, so she was into ice skating for a while and was really good at it, and then said, you know, I want to try acting, and then I really want to be a rock and roller, and they supported her along the way. It's sometimes hard. You want your, you know, think of something that's going to pay the bills, honey, but back then it seemed odd that a parent would support a kid doing all those different things, but isn't that how we should be?
I think it's how kids find their way, right? Sometimes we think, well, at 13 or 14, they need to have the final answer. You know, I've got a 20-year-old who still doesn't know his final answer. So I think we want to support their interests as they go and watch them develop. I'm working with a dad right now who's panic-stricken because his kid wants to be a rapper. So this is a suburban kid who wants to be a rapper. The dad is panic-stricken, and my bias is, let this ride itself out. You know, he's creating and he's working towards something. And do I think 10 years from now he's going to be a rapper? If I was guessing, I'd guess not. Mm-hmm. But do I think he's heading somewhere here? Do I think he's got something that is going to lead him to the next thing? Yeah, I really do. You know what I mean?
But how do you balance being encouraging but also being realistic? Because you got to find that very thin thread, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But how old is he?
Well, he's 17 or 18. Yeah. So... So
you'd give it 10 years on that, though? That might be a little,
it might
that's
be a
very
little
patient of you.
No, I would not give that 10 years. I think with teenagers, you want to balance the pragmatic with the, you know, not frivolous, but with the passion, right? So, I like the idea of having a couple of plans, a couple of tracks, like, you know, okay, so, and kids are smart. They know the odds of my being a successful rapper or, you know, playing for the Bulls, mm-hmm. it's pretty remote, you mm-hmm. know? So they get the idea now where we might not have gotten it a generation ago that I kind of need a plan B. So, you know, I should probably go to college. So to work with your kids on more than one track, right? Like, okay, well, I'm going to support you in A, but I also want you to be working toward B because, you know, you might be able to blend those together at some point too. But if you have no B,
yeah.
if there is no kind of practical kind of either college based or job based element to your life, then you might learn to resent plan A, especially yeah. when it stops working and that no longer becomes a passion. You become desperate about it.
Right.
And you lose all the fun parts.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't you think life has meaning? Obviously, love and relationships and a good family. But to give yourself your own satisfaction, you need to have a passion. So I'm just thinking, if this kid has a passion, maybe along the way of going, I'm not going to be Eminem, but maybe he'll find some other thing that intersects with it that he really likes.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to say, oh, go do whatever you want, especially at 17. You got to start thinking about some kind of future, but... I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is.
I think
for that.
It's balance. I think you're on the right track. You know, I think it's important as kids enter their later teens that they start thinking, what is my life going to look like practically speaking? But I think most of us say we want our kids to be happy. So in order for that to really happen, you want that balanced out with something that they feel real passionate about. And, you know, I think a lot of us do that in our lives. You know, a lot of us are passionate about music or movies or, you know, stand-up comedy or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we pursue those things. That doesn't mean we abandon, you know, the job or the family or the other practical elements of life. But to protect some time for what you really care about is really important in terms of balance going forward. So to let our kids do that and start that process early,
yeah.
I think that's just smart.
Is this particular 17-year-old trying to get around going to college so that he can pursue rapping instead, or does he
not
still
at all?
He's still going to go to college.
Absolutely, okay. He's planning on going to college.
Well, then what's the problem?
Right. No. I Dad's problem is he's over focused on this. He wants it too badly. But my point to him is, oh yeah, he's 17. You know, like we all wanted to be rock stars at 17 of some kind.
Right.
And so this is a process, and he'll eventually find his, you know, greatness, and it probably will be in some other area, but this gives him a taste of it.
Right.
Yeah.
See, it's a yin and a yang. He's going to school. I guess you're right. If he was just,
then
I'm
going
to pursue my rap thing here and,
right.
you know, work at Chipotle.
Yeah.
But even then, if he's working and making money, but this
he
kid's
can make
gotta...
chicken wraps. Then everybody's happy. It all ties in. John, thank you so much. It's Dr. John Duffy. Again, his book is The Available Parent. It's available wherever better books are sold. Visit his website. It's drjohnduffy.com. And certainly listen to his podcasts. They're great over on WGN Plus. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, John.
Quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I've started something. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Thank you, Ryan. Great job. Donald Trump, I will not be lying if I say that he has said some things that some would interpret differently.
What?
Well, it is a way in which you interpret
that.
It.
Yeah, right.
But when you're in a position where you're running for president, even if you're kidding or sarcastic, you got to watch what you say.
I guess.
I should watch what I say more often.
Yeah.
But I have the FCC regulating me. He's got nothing regulating him.
No. I'm sure alluding to what he said yesterday in regards to the Second Amendment and Hillary Clinton, where some people are interpreting what he said to suggest that Hillary Clinton be assassinated. Is this right?
I could see where people would take that to mean that.
Can we run the clip?
Yes.
The clip is only 20 seconds.
Best right. 20 seconds ever.
So now everybody is hearing this or seeing this from a different angle. I'll warn you before you hear it. There are people out there who hear this and say, well, what Donald Trump just did was suggest to people who love their guns that if they're not happy with Hillary Clinton, they use those guns on her. There's other people saying, what are you hearing? I'm not hearing any of that. You figure it out. This is Donald Trump from yesterday. Listen.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick, her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
all right, so what does that mean exactly?
Your mileage may vary on that one.
I think I'm honest when I say this, but the rest of what I say, I'm not honest. But this part, I am totally honest on. I understand everybody's perspective, and I think even Donald Trump himself, who is known to talk without the use of cue cards, he just kind of wants to talk off the top of his head and say whatever's on his mind at that particular second. I don't even think he had a specific direction for what exactly that meant. I think it's just like much of what Donald Trump says, it's the next thing to say. You know,
I agree. Like a non sequitur kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was being kind of cutesy.
Yeah.
I don't, in my opinion, I don't think there was malice behind that. I think he just said it and you people, maybe you could do something. And then when you think about it, it's like, wow, that didn't sound right. But he would never come out and say, I didn't mean it that way.
Because that would fall into the bracket of backtracking or apologizing.
And as people say, he wanted unity, then that's not what he meant.
I don't think he was suggesting. I swear, and I'm not like you, I'm not a big fan of this man running for president. But I don't think how stupid would a guy have to be to go up there and say, hey, if you don't like what Hillary Clinton's doing, take those guns and use them. I don't think that. However, there's plenty of supporters who are kind of in that gray area of, wait, what did he just suggest? What is he, you know, should I do something about it? I'm a Second Amendment fan. Should I do something about it? That's where it gets a little bit frightening.
I agree with you. And I know there are people listening who are Trump supporters and we're, you know, getting texts. Why don't you have somebody who supports Trump on? Because I can't imagine that. And I don't understand why.
But we've had plenty of listeners. We've asked questions in the past and listeners have said, well, you ask for somebody who likes them. Here's why I like them. And I have to be honest. A lot of the times what those people are saying, I get that. We've had people say, you know, he's not a career politician. Agreed, he's not a career politician. And people say, he says what's on his mind. Agreed, he does. He says what's on his mind. So if those are the qualities you're looking for, you got your guy. But in the long run, there's a lot of other things that don't balance out with him.
And I'm telling you, at the beginning, it was very refreshing for me to hear, you know, you go, I don't want a politician. I want just a regular guy, a businessman who's going to come in and fix things.
Yeah.
But then you start thinking about it, and it's like, it's not going to change. The politics are like they are. I do want someone with experience. And then, you know, but at first, I'm telling you, it sounded like a great idea, and I kind of think maybe he could be good, but just as this goes on, the things he says are hateful, hurtful. It's bad. It's bad for our country.
Yeah.
It really is. And I don't know. I just don't understand. If someone wants to call and say how it's going to benefit our country, not just he says what he wants to do. You know, he says it like it is. He speaks like, explain how it's going to help our country. And you, the person supporting him, how is he going to help you? That's what I want to know.
Right.
Andy, taking away your Second Amendment rights, I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton is not going to do that or can do that.
Well, that's, am I on?
Yes.
Oh, I talked to you on Friday, and I really enjoyed when I was talking, well, I didn't enjoy talking about the police shooting, but anyhow, this is the same Andy from Wisconsin. The thing that people don't seem to realize on that subject that he was talking about, where he said, you know, the Second Amendment people can stop this, when he said that Hillary wants to abolish the Second Amendment, there's no way that a president is able to do that, according to the Constitution. She has never suggested that she wanted to abolish the Second Amendment. The abolishing an amendment can only be done by an act of Congress, two-thirds members of the House and the Senate. And I don't know why people are all excited when he says, well, she wants to do this. That was the motivation for what he said about, you know,
the Second Amendment.
The people that, the NRA people, let's call them, that they're the ones that could stop her from doing this when she has never proposed it.
Right.
And she could never do it anyhow. And
she
has
wants,
never proposed it, never said a word about it.
She wants stricter gun laws, which...
Who doesn't?
She wants more restrictions.
Well, not really. She wants responsible, you know, if you're on the no-fly, you should be on the no-buy.
Yeah.
If you're mentally ill, if you're a criminal.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. It's common sense stuff that the majority of the NRA members already endorse and support.
Andy, 2 years ago, there was a rumor going around, Barack Obama is going to take away your guns. He's going to send people door to door, and if you have guns, you're going to take the guns away. So what happened was gun sales hit an all-time high 2 years ago because there was such widespread panic that Barack Obama was going to take everybody's guns away. So don't you think this is kind of a retread? This is Donald Trump saying, hey, Hillary Clinton, you put her in the office. Guns, not going to be able to have them anymore. And it's not true.
Yeah, it's just trying to scare people with propaganda. And I am a tremendous supporter and a follower of PolitiFacts.
Mm-hmm.
If you see something, don't just react to it. Go on PolitiFacts or Politico or Snopes. They're all nonpartisan organizations. PolitiFacts has won Pulitzer Prizes for their honesty and integrity.
Yeah.
Don't be a stupid voter. Do a little bit of research.
Do some
and don't
research.
Just, you know, there's 1,000 partisan websites which will teach you or tell you what you want to hear. Don't believe any of it.
Andy, thank you so much for calling and great advice.
And it's Snopes, by the way.
Yeah,
Snopes.
Not Snopes.
Is our neighbors down the street. They also have a website. All right.
Just do your homework on your own.
Do some homework. All right. We've got plenty of calls on this. We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about some comments made by Donald Trump yesterday.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
All right. Let's hear it again and then your calls, 312-981-7200. I don't want to put words in his mouth. He's really good at doing that on his own. Am I right?
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day if...
See, that's what... He just keeps talking.
I read that as a joke.
I do,
too. But the stakes are too high in that instance to joke about.
People are following him. They're living and breathing from what he's saying. So
when Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver hears that, what does he make of that? You know?
He goes to watch a
Jodie Foster movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't think. Why? What's the Jodie Foster obsession, by the way?
I don't know.
Travis Bickle and then...
Mark David Chapman had a thing for her.
Boy, she's popular.
Yeah.
All right, Herb, your thoughts on the horrible day?
The fact that he said it would be a horrible day could not be attributable to him saying the NRA should vote for him, because he would never say that his election would be a horrible day. He must have meant that if anybody shot Hillary, it would be a horrible day.
That's what most people are interpreting that as.
And he said it kind of like, and that would be a horrible day.
Yeah.
How else could you interpret it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I honestly, I'm not. I know. Herb, thanks.
Thank you for calling.
I've heard it a dozen times, and I keep hearing it differently. I keep trying to put myself in his mind, in the mind of somebody who's saying that guy just said go assassinate Hillary Clinton. I'm trying to figure it out if that's valid
really
or not.
He didn't really say that.
I don't think so. He was just saying, hey, you guys, you don't want your guns taken away? You got guns. Take care of business on your own. You know, and what does that mean?
All right, Cindy, go ahead.
Hi. God help us with either one. If Hillary gets in, she's going to spend us like into socialism like what's-his-name did, Obama. And the thing is, the government doesn't have any money of its own. It simply takes it out of your working man's pocket and gives it to refugees and this one, that one, and charges a healthy fee for their own salary. I think they should all the politicians from the president down should get a 10% cut in their wages. Now, on Trump, mm-hmm. He never knows when to shut up. He is the abominable showman, and he just never knows when to to shut up. And we have to deal with the rest of the world. And you can't go around calling people names and saying this and that. And just ask Orion about trade and how we need trade.
I've heard him.
With the rest of the world. And if he rubs everybody the wrong way, it's just too sad. Like I said, God help us with either one.
Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate that.
The abominable showman.
I love it.
Is that hers? I've not heard that before.
I haven't either.
That's very good.
I just didn't want to continue because everybody, I keep hearing the same thing. I don't want this person. I don't want that person. We have to pick somebody.
Yeah, I that's curious to people who, and believe me, there are certainly faults on both sides. So even though we like to think we're not picking the lesser of two evils.
We are. I mean, we kind of are.
I guess we are.
You know, I mean, you got to go through the categories. Experience, Hillary's got him on that one.
Yeah, I know. Well, just
showmanship, Trump's got
Trump
her.
Wins in showmanship, right? If you're looking for an evil P.T. Barnum, then I think your prayers have been answered.
I like that, and I'm sorry I let her go without knowing if that was hers. All right, Bob, go ahead. We only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm on. Yeah, George Will said it best. He wrote, Donald Trump could not pass any middle school social studies test in any area. And that includes economics, and of course it certainly includes civics. It takes a 2/3 vote of both the House and the Senate to just propose a constitutional amendment. And then it goes to the state legislatures, and they must approve. 3/4 of the state legislatures then must approve a constitutional amendment. It's a long, drawn-out process. It's not an easy one. That's why we only have 27 amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald, once more, it's not only speaking to incite people, and his comment, by the way, the last comment he said after he said it would be an awful day.
Yeah.
Horrible day.
That says something right, a horrible day. That says something right there. What does that imply? You know, I'd like to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because he speaks off the top of his head and he changes subjects and you never can follow his train of thought. I would hope that no one could use incendiary words like that, but he has repeatedly. This is not the first time.
Bob, his defenders, the people who are trying to make sense of what he said yesterday are saying that his last line there, it would be a horrible day, refers to the fact that if we lose control over the ability to have firearms, that would be the horrible day he's referring to. He's not saying if someone were to take a shot at Hillary Clinton and shoot her, that would be a horrible day.
Wouldn't it have been the responsible thing of him to clarify things afterwards?
Oh, no. He's not responsible and doesn't want to clarify or apologize.
We are all responsible for our words. And world leaders, and especially the President of the United States,
sure,
his words must be measured and exact. We've had a president who's been very careful. in what he has said, and he's been very aware of it. And that's Barack Obama. You know, you cannot have a loose cannon.
Agreed. And you said it right there, Bob, when you said, you know, a president's words have to be measured and exact. That's what my biggest problem is. This is a guy who could be running this country, and he's just speaking like some goofball we'd have on the air, like us. I mean, he's going to, he could be president.
Yeah.
You got to watch what you say. Bob, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for calling in for Glom.
For
calling in and for texting in. And we're going to try to bring this back in the second half. Steve Bertrand's coming up in a minute with the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's Wednesday, and we're thrilled that you're listening. If you want to contact us, be part of the show, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it.
Or just stop by.
You could always stop by. There's no reason you couldn't stop by.
Again, I have mentioned that I like this to be the show, like we just saw Dave Plyer during our lunch break.
What a treat that was.
It was all right.
It was all right.
What I would like is if people are here early or something, like if Steve Cochran was still hanging around, I want this to be like the basement everybody wanted to hang out in high school.
All right. That's fair.
So an open invitation, not to listeners exactly.
Oh,
but
come on. You would exclude the listeners from that offer?
If they bring us water, because we still don't have water at this place. This is crazy. And don't bring us water. We can buy our own.
There has been a new development.
Speaking of water.
Yes. In the horrible, horrible story of the 10-year-old boy who died at a water slide in Kansas. The boy's name is Caleb Schwab, 10 years old, like I said. Went for a ride on a raft ride, a water slide raft ride called Verrückt, which is German for insane. And as you all know, he did not survive that ride. Now, initially, they weren't giving a cause of death. They were investigating it, and they were not giving a cause of death.
A neck injury.
That's what they announced yesterday.
A fatal neck injury.
That a neck injury is what did him in. But now we have confirmation that it was far more than just a neck injury, that this young boy was decapitated on this ride, which is, there's no word for how horrendous this is.
He has three brothers. There were four boys in the Schwab family. His dad is a member of...
He's a state rep.
Yes.
A lawmaker. And yeah.
And this was like state legislature day, so anyone who was a state rep or in the legislature could come and didn't have to. It was free day for them.
Right.
The family had gone to church in the morning. It was cloudy. They were going to blow off the water park, and then the clouds dissipated, and they said, oh, let's just go. Four boys. Reports are that one of the brothers saw this happen to Caleb and ran to get the parents, and I just can't stop thinking about this family and this boy and this tragedy.
The way this ride is situated is that it's a raft. You go down on a three-person raft. So he was one of three people, and he was in with two other girls, not family members.
Two women from Kansas City, I thought.
I'm not sure where they're from.
I can't remember where they're from, but yes, they didn't know him.
All right. They talk about how to make the raft ride work properly, and in this case it did not, the raft has to have a combined weight of 400 to 555 pounds. I'm sorry, 550 pounds. So they're trying to determine if that might have had something to do with this. I don't know how exact those calculations have to be. What do they? They must just weigh all three people as you're getting on it somehow. I don't know how they
before,
do that.
Before you enter, you have to climb up these stairs. They weigh everyone before you climb up the stairs to get there.
And then they pair you off with two other people to make your total somewhere between 400 to 550. Now, what's alarming is they had announced almost immediately a couple of days ago that when they were developing this particular ride, they were having a hard time keeping the rafts on the track. That when they first tested this, they didn't use people on it. They would use sandbags. And they said that with some frequency, the rafts were coming off the track, which is alarming of its in and of itself. They believed that they had fixed that.
It just flew into the air.
Yeah.
And they did stuff to prevent that from happening. They had to do like a $1 million renovation where they ripped down part of the slide because just the angles were sending those rafts with the sandbags up in the air.
Yeah.
So they put this netting over it so the raft couldn't technically fly out of the chute.
Yeah.
And there are reports that somewhere along the line, after the first major drop, which, God, I can't even remember
it's
what the drop
it's the
is.
Highest in the world, by
168
the way.
Feet.
And this is in the Guinness Book of World Records, because I went to the Schlitter... I got to be careful here. I didn't even know we could say this
the name
on
of
here.
The amusement park?
Yeah, Schlitterbahn.
Yeah.
And they have like a little advertisement talking about the slide, and it's like... It's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the tallest ride. And Schlitterbahn Water Park, Kansas City, Kansas. Reports are that after that first drop, Caleb left the raft. And they're saying that perhaps, since he was up in the air, perhaps his head hit the net.
Yeah.
And there was blood coming down the chute of the slide.
Right.
The body had landed in the pool at the end of the ride, and allegedly there was a witness who said the lifeguard who was there said, yeah, there's nothing we can do for this guy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And the brother witnessed this.
All right. So here's the important thing is what happens next. So right now I know that they closed this. I don't know if they closed the whole park down. I know they said they had closed the ride down.
The park just opened up, at noon today.
Yes, but just a portion, a limited portion of the park opened at noon today. The Verrückt will be closed for the rest of the season.
All right. It's for the rest of the season.
That's
so they'll do some tests on it and things. Don't you wonder what the future is there? Like if you're a parent and you're bringing your kids to this water park and you know what happened on it, let's say they decide it was just a freak thing, that it was just a fluke.
And it very well could be.
It very well could be. You know, you look at the volume of the people who have already been on this ride and got through it unscathed. So what if the findings are just a weird fluke accident, really nothing we can do, business as usual? Would you let your kids on that ride? Would you want to go on that ride?
Bring that up to Disney. A kid got eaten by, or not eaten, taken by an alligator.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Disney?
Well, did you see what they're doing now?
No.
They're putting up, and I saw pictures of it, and even after looking at the pictures, I still don't understand it. They're putting up what they're calling an alligator wall in the water.
Which some employee had mentioned
had
a while back.
It. Yeah. So their hopes are that with this alligator wall, it will keep the alligators that still exist there in a specific area and not be able to come close to the beaches. But I don't know how that works with the, like... That Seven Seas Lagoon is
interconnected with...
It's interconnected with everything, but there's a lot of boat traffic. Like, you can rent boats at all the hotels, so are the boats able to somehow get over this wall?
I'm sure the wall is just, like, around the beach area, like, out just a little distance. I can't imagine.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
it's in
I
the
guess.
Center
it's
of
close
the lagoon.
Enough. Yeah, yeah. But I just wonder, like, let's say this is your favorite water park in the world, and you go there all the time, and you know what happened, would you still... be brave enough to go, although I guess that's part of the mystique for a lot of people. Oh, that's the ride that killed a kid. Let's see if I'm brave enough to go on that ride. It's sick, but I know people have that kind of thought process sometimes.
I don't. Who would think that way?
There's been other amusement park accidents where people go, I'm still going on the ride. Love the ride. I'm not going to change my mind.
I don't know if this is going to prevent people from going on it unless, of course, negligence is found.
Yeah.
And it does seem weird. All right, everybody's weighed on their way up. So what do you have, a little ticket in your hand, Ryan, that says your weight? And that's why I wouldn't go on the ride, because I lie about my weight.
Yeah, the entrance is on the ground. And then when you're approved, then you go up the stairs.
So how do you know when you get, I guess they tell you which raft to go in on the ground, and then you go up in that order.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, what if you go out of order? What if somebody cuts? There's just, like, probably a high school kid up there who's going, okay, make sure your Velcro straps are attached.
Yeah.
And why is it Velcro? According to this, riders are harnessed in with two nylon seatbelt-like straps, one that crosses the rider's lap, and the other stretches diagonally like a car shoulder seatbelt. Each strap is held in place by long Velcro-style straps, not by buckles. Velcro wears out. Velcro's not going to keep me in. There are also some ropes inside the raft that you can hang on to.
Yeah.
Listen, when you get in a ride and you put the seatbelt on, do you really think that's going to be the barrier between life and death? You do it because you're supposed to, in case the ride tips over or something, but...
I can do you one better than that. When my friends and I, we used to go, we did this several summers when we were in high school and then into college, we'd go to Kings Island, and there's a ride there called The Beast, a roller coaster that's an amazing roller coaster.
It's a fantastic roller coaster. It's great. Yeah. Is that still the longest wooden roller coaster in the country?
I think it is. Yeah. It's a long,
it's like two and a half minutes, something like that. Yeah.
Well, we figured out when you, there's, and this isn't the only roller coaster you could do this on. When you pull down that support bar, there's a click. Well, we liked the sensation when it would go down a hill of kind of rising up in our seat. So we wouldn't click it all the way at the bottom. We
would click it so there was some wiggle room.
Yeah, so there was some give.
What are you, goofy?
So that when the ride would come down, we would raise way up in our seats. You know, and we weren't the only ones who did that. You'd kind of fake it, like, yeah, this is as tight as it'll go.
But that locked. This is Velcro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do. Seems kind of like you made a raft, a half-assed raft that you're going to put down this water slide. What's the first drop? How many feet, Ryan, did you tell me?
168.
I need to be completely strapped to that raft and helmets. Why aren't there helmets? I'm not even being funny.
I think they would tell you. I don't remember seeing. There aren't helmets on this one, is there? There is a similar ride somewhere that I saw a video of where the people did have helmets that they put on. I guess they would tell you, well, it takes too long to get everybody with a helmet. You fit the guy with a helmet. That takes forever. But, you know, if safety's on the line, take that extra couple of seconds, right?
I don't know if that would have helped in this case, though.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
No, and you don't know what happened. Did he undo his strap? You know, I mean, was he standing up? You don't know.
Right.
You couldn't stand up. Centrifugal force wouldn't allow you.
That's the first thing I thought of is it would be, because of gravitational pull, it'd be impossible to stand up, I think.
Well, we don't know for a fact. They're still investigating this, and they were very tight-lipped about this. Cheryl, I know that it said the rider must be at least 54 inches tall, and as Bill mentioned, the combined body...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so the rider must be at least 54 inches tall, and the combined body weight, as Bill mentioned, each raft is limited to 400 to 550 pounds.
For the three riders.
I have a hard time believing two women and a 10-year-old weighed 400 pounds. And that how many 10-year-olds are 54 inches?
Well, that varies. I had a 10-year-old who was and one that it wasn't.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just sounds to me like it's human error upon human error. And, you know, no, I know it's really easy to sit here as armchair quarterback, but for a drop that's higher than the Statue of Liberty that goes 70 miles an hour, I wouldn't let my 10-year-old go on it. I mean, I know it's really easy to sit and say that now, but...
No, I wouldn't either, because I wouldn't go on it.
The name of the ride says it all. I mean, Vroom means insane.
It does,
so there you go. I mean, if you watch those videos when they were first testing it, because there was actually a show on Travel Channel about water parks, and I mean, literally, the whole raft and the sandbags went flying.
And then they fixed it. They had to rip a portion of it down and fix it. And what I'm astounded by is you hear in the news today that I don't know if it's just Kansas City, Kansas, but certain states don't have any regulations. What is that?
Yeah, it's gonna change, and I would be shocked if that ride ever opened again, because I thought it was nuts when I first saw it.
Hmm.
And even for adults to go on it, you're going like 70 miles an hour with, like you said, with a Velcro. I don't think that really, you know, it's just, I feel horrible. It's,
I know.
You know, just tragic, and I can't even imagine for that brother to have seen it. Oh. I can't even. And for the women who were in the raft with them. I mean,
oh, they're not speaking to the media because they had some injuries. One of them had a broken jaw and some eye injury. Was that because the kid flew out and hit them? There's nothing being explained.
Yeah, it's probably horrifying for everyone. So,
well, thank you, Cheryl. We appreciate you calling.
I can't tell you how many times over the years I've seen this at amusement parks. Where, you know, they have a thing that says you have to be taller than this.
Right.
And then there's like a cartoon character show it with their hand up. You must be taller than this. So then they'll try to bring their kid on and their kid misses it by a couple of inches. And then the parents are screaming and yelling, you got to put my kid on this. We waited in line. But it's for the safety of the kid. They're not trying to be mean. They're saying for safety reasons, we can't put the kid on. We've tested this, and it's not safe for a child that size. But the parents get all nuts about it. You got to put my kid on it. We just stood in line for 25 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, but you got some high school kid doing a summer job who kind of just says, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the responsibility of these kids that, I don't know if they are kids, I shouldn't say it, but I did watch some videos where it just looks like a summer job for some of these kids, teenagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're being weighed down at the bottom of the stairwell and then they say, okay, you three go together, they're assuming somebody checked.
Right. Right.
I don't know. We have to take a break. More people want to talk about this. I can't even imagine. State Legislator Day, does the guy think if I wasn't in politics, we wouldn't have been here? Is he? I'm imagining some terrible feelings going on right now.
Oh, I would think. Yeah. All right. More of your thoughts on this. 312-981-7200 coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're talking about Caleb Schwab, a 10-year-old boy decapitated as he rode a 168-foot-tall water slide at the water park in Kansas City, the Schlitterbahn Water Park, on a ride called Verrückt, which in German means...
insane. It's insane for in German, yeah.
I can't fault them for that name. I mean...
No, you want to... Your goal there is to inspire some sort of fear. I mean, that's part of the game, is you're building it up.
It seems odd that the riders are harnessed with two nylon seatbelt-like straps that connect Velcro-like, not buckles.
Right.
There are some ropes inside the raft that you can hang on to, but we don't know if there's any negligence on the part of the Schlitterbahn Water Park. I'm sure we'll know more in the coming days. Is this Tina?
Yeah. Hi. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I actually had seen, I believe it was maybe on ABC, that there was at least a couple of people who've come forward and said that those harnesses came off of them while they were on that ride.
Oh,
and,
God.
Like, they had friends, you know, at the bottom taping them with their phones, and they showed these people, a couple of people coming down, and the one guy was like, yeah, and then I held on to those ropes for dear life because he was completely unharnessed the whole way down. So they aren't the best harnesses to begin with. And then something else that I thought about is they showed the seating of the boat with the boy in it, and they had the two women in the back and the boy in the front. So why would they put the lightest weight person in the front when that's going to be, like, everybody knows on roller coasters and stuff, the front car always has more movement. You would want to put, like, a lady and then the boy in the middle and then the lady.
It does seem like that would be a safer option.
Yeah.
I don't.
But, you know.
Oh, go on.
I'm very adventurous. I'm 56. I've done roller coasters my whole life. I still do. If I had gone there before this happened, I probably would have gone on that ride.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no way.
It does seem like you'd put the heaviest in the front to make it go faster, because what if, you know, weight in the back kind of folds the raft over? It's just like an inflatable raft.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Exactly. That's exactly.
You'd
want to
even out.
I've been on rides, and if you ride them with that much frequency, Tina, I'm sure you've seen this too, where as people are getting on the ride, they say to you, they try to distribute the weight in a certain way.
Yep.
You know.
Absolutely. You know, and especially on the water rides, it seems.
Yeah, you're right.
You know. Yeah. So that was, but I mean, that is just an awful, awful thing. I, like you said, I feel bad for the brother and those ladies, everybody that was witnessing that. It's just tragic.
It is. Tina, thank you so very much for calling. And real quickly before we take a break, Patty, you have a sort of a good side to this, don't you?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, maybe because his dad is in a legislative position, that might speed along some laws that increase safety for all of these things. Your average citizen would, you know, maybe after grieving for a while might try to do something, but if you're in the legislature, you can probably do something quicker. So that's maybe one better way to, you know, not that anything about this is good, but, you know, it might, you know, maybe save somebody else's life down the road.
Great point, Patty. Thank you so much.
I want to quickly ask Ryan. Ryan, are you available for a second?
Yeah.
Since you know Kings Island, maybe you'll know more about this than I do. They put up another roller coaster similar to the Beast, and it even had a name that was like Son of the Beast or something like that, but it was bigger than the Beast, and then there was some sort of mishap on that that made them close that ride. Do you remember that?
No,
that was
I'm sorry. Don't. It's been a while since I've been there, but I do specifically remember the Beast. There have been numerous writings about that. I'm not that water or that amusement park is it's huge, isn't
it? Yeah,
I mean,
it's great.
Compare it to Six Flags Great America, and it's a big one. No, I don't recall that.
It got all kinds of hype and fanfare, and then I took my family there. Boy, what would it be? About seven or eight years ago. And you see the ride there, and it looks stunning. It's beautiful. It's this gigantic wooden roller coaster on the opposite side of the park from the Beast. And then anytime you'd ask a worker, is that, because it always says it's closed today, but we were there 3 days. So we go, is it, what about tomorrow? Possibly. You know, they're very gray about the
whole
thing. But nobody wants to talk about what happened. And then, you know, sometimes you're in line with other people and you go, hey, what's going on with that ride? And they go, oh, huge accident. They don't want anybody to know. No one's riding it. You got to wait a little while, see what happens. But I don't know what ended up happening with it. I don't know if they ever reopened it.
That's frightening. I don't know. I feel comfortable now with my kids playing video games at home on the couch.
A little safer?
Yeah.
All right, a break. Some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Brian, thanks. Just a quick update on the story we just told you about, and that's the devastatingly sad story of a little boy, a 10-year-old boy, who was at a water park in Kansas and lost his life. The details are now coming out about how exactly he lost his life. And we didn't know this yesterday because they were just saying neck injury.
It sounded weird. I thought like maybe terrible whiplash did something to break his neck. That's what I thought.
Well, it turns out it's even worse. The boy was decapitated on the ride. It's just it's awful in every respect. But I had said to Ryan, because Ryan had a little knowledge of Kings Island Amusement Park, which is near Cincinnati, Ohio. I used to go there quite a bit. And I said there was a big roller coaster that they had built. I couldn't remember the name of it. It is Son of Beast. Not even The Beast, just Son of Beast. And when I took my family there about 7 or 8 years ago, the ride was closed down, and nobody at the park would really answer if it was going to open that day or the next day or ever again. They were being very secretive. I found a website that talks about various amusement park mishaps and accidents. And really, I'm sure you would have guessed this, no amusement park or water park is immune to this. You have thousands and thousands of people riding on rides. Sadly, there's going to be mishaps. It's a small percentage, luckily, but there have been some terrible ones over the years. So what happened at Cedar Rapids, I'm sorry, not Cedar Rapids, Kings Island, is that in 2006, where's the exact paragraph that explains it? A piece of cracked wood on Kings Island Son of Beast roller coaster created a pothole effect that jolted passengers and sent 27 passengers to the hospital. The state didn't cite the park because the crack couldn't have been anticipated. Kings Island voluntarily removed the ride's 118-foot loop. Now, I remember when I saw it, unless I'm mistaken, but I don't think I am, I don't remember seeing a loop. So if that was 2006, I was there either the year after. I must have been there the year after, 2007, maybe 2008. But the ride still wasn't going, but I don't remember seeing a loop. So maybe they were trying their best to fix it, and it took a while to get it up to standards.
I mean, I know nobody wants to have anything tragic happen at their park.
It's the worst thing in the world for business.
Bad for business.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Are there other parks that are mentioned on this study? Because you don't think of it. I'm sorry. This has just been a bad year. You think about the kid at Disney. Now this poor kid at the Schlitterbahn.
Yeah.
It's like these are just...
It's all... There's a bunch, but every one of them, it's... I mean, they're just awful. It's kids getting hurt in various ways on various rides. Some of them, you know, losing their lives. But it's just, you know, every one of them. Because I love thrill rides. I really do. I love roller coasters and I love rides like that. And I'll tell you, even last year when we were in Costa Rica and we went zip lining, as you're strapping up, you say to yourself, "This could be." Hopefully, this is worst case scenario. But this is ridiculous what I'm doing.
Well, then why do you do it? See, that's what I don't understand.
I don't know.
Would you skydive? Because I wouldn't.
You know, yeah, I would.
So if somebody called right now and said, "I'll take you up and you can go skydiving," you'd do it?
Yeah.
You're the guy who would be afraid to go to Rio over mosquitoes, but you'd skydive?
Yeah.
I wouldn't skydive. I'm a big baby, and when I think back when I was younger, I did go on all the rides. Granted, it was just kiddie land, but I really didn't have a lot of fear. I'm talking when I was a little kid.
You did those motorcycles that went around in a circle?
Oh, I wish I'd fit my butt on them now. I'd go. But when I was a kid, I mean, you don't think about those things. It's like, oh, this is fun, because I'm trying to figure out when I stopped liking rides. That's why I didn't like Disney for a while, and I've kind of fallen back into it,
right,
thanks to my son Dylan and,
right,
and Splash Mountain. I was so anxious about it, and then when I did it, I'm like, it really wasn't so bad and
right,
almost kind of fun. So I had some kind of hang up in my head turning from child to adult where it's like, adults aren't supposed to do those things anymore.
Do you remember, we broadcast at another station years and years ago, we broadcast a show for a week at Turks and Caicos Islands. And I don't know if you remember this, but they offered, there's skydiving, and then there's something that they call super skydiving, which is the plane goes up twice as high. And we didn't do it, but one of the other people there, his wife did it. And the plane,
oh, yeah,
is so small, like when it crosses over the island, you can barely see it. You just see a speck in the sky. It's that high up. And whatever, I don't know what the normal, when you usually skydive, I don't know what the height is, but it does. It goes up twice as high. And that guy, I don't know if you remember, but he was so scared and nervous to watch his wife do it.
I do remember that.
But I think I told you this. I was strongly considering doing it. I thought that would really be an insane amount of fun, and the only thing that was preventing me from doing it is I remembered thinking to myself before I signed up for it, if something does go horribly wrong, number one, I wouldn't live to tell the tale.
And you'd ruin the rest of the shows.
Yeah, the rest of the show, because we still had two more shows to do
right,
that week, and those would have been bad. But then I would have thought how mad my wife would have been at me for doing that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what kept me from doing it.
But that's what keeps you from doing a lot of things when you become an adult. It gets into your head, like, what if?
Yeah.
And
I
mean, guys, I know you can go on a roller coaster a million times and have no accident, but that million and first time.
That's the one.
And.
But you, I mean, as much, I'm not afraid of them. I love going on them. And I can't remember the last time I was at an amusement park where I saw one and I went, huh, I'm not doing that one. I'm up for almost anything, because you say to yourself, it's got to be safe. They wouldn't have it here if it wasn't 100% safe. But there's always that moment as you're strapping in. And the hardest part for me on any roller coaster is not going down any hills, and it's not turning, and it's not loops. It's that climb up,
the
that
click,
slow climb
click,
up. Yeah.
Click.
Yeah.
That's when I start freaking out, because it's like you always have a little sign that says, if you're backing out, this is your last chance.
Yeah.
But then when I'm hearing click, 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 I'm like, okay, what do I do now? How do I back out of it now? I can't.
Right.
That just,
right,
it's scary. And you scared me walking out of here yesterday. You just came upon me and jumped, and you didn't touch me. I didn't know you were coming. I was on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't like to be scared.
Yeah. So why do I keep doing it?
Well, I mean, that's why I don't want to go on a ride. I don't want to be scared. I don't want the feeling that you get when you're falling, when your stomach's in your mouth. That's not fun.
But look at the psychology of that. The psychology of it is fascinating. Nobody really wants to free fall to our death. And yet, that's what the whole amusement park industry is built on, is that momentary feeling where you're this close to it, but luckily, they've made it safe enough to you live to tell the tale. But it's all built. I mean, they're playing off of your fears.
I know, and there's a place we should all be afraid. And, Joe, I think you have something that should scare us all.
Well, driving in a car is unsafe. Flying in an airplane or a train, riding on a train, it's all unsafe in certain aspects.
Sure.
So I go, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, what is the difference between jumping out of an airplane and driving in a car at 70 miles an hour? You know, to me, it's like they're both safe because you have safety. There's safety items in place so that you don't get killed or injured.
Well,
you know,
in a car, you're a little safer if you crash and you have airbags and you have the frame of the car. If your chute doesn't open, you know, why don't you skydive in a car?
If your chute doesn't open, you have a backup parachute that will automatically deploy when you get to a certain elevation, whatever that is. I forget what it is now.
Member of the Navy SEAL who got, they were doing a formation. He got caught on the building last Air and Water Show. Was it last year?
No, he didn't. He got knocked out when he hit other parachute.
That's right.
And that's what he ended up hitting into the building, because he couldn't control himself, obviously.
All right, but weird thing happens, you know.
Weird things happen in a car. I mean, I've seen, I do a lot of driving for my job, and, you know, I've seen wheels come off of cars. I've seen all sorts of weird things happen. And it's like, you know, and then when you start looking at it statistically, really, you know, jumping out of an airplane is actually a pretty safe thing to do.
For you, I'm just not leaving my house anymore, Joe. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
More of this discussion next. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is Bill and Wendy. You are listening to us, the second half of our show today. Bill, pick a caller, because I don't know where to go with this.
They're all good. I'm curious to see what Karen has to say about this, though.
All right, and this all started from us talking about Caleb Schwab. It has been released, and I believe it was yesterday, that this boy, instead of a fatal neck injury, I guess it's technically the same, but we found out he was decapitated on Sunday on the Veroot raft ride at the Schlitterbahn Water Park in Kansas City. And Karen, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts as I get older, a little different than once upon a time, but when I would take my kids on the roller coaster, we always screamed and said, oh, you know, great time, because then they got used to it. Well, you know, in retrospect, maybe that wasn't the best. But case in point, we were on a cruise last week. I talked to you last week about this, not quite the same topic, but my 70-year-old husband went on the Escape Norwegian's ship.
Yeah.
Has the ropes course deluxe, walk the plank, the zip line,
Yeah. The
slides. Now, he didn't do the slide. My granddaughter's 13, and that's what sold her on going with us. But they didn't have an age restriction. They had a weight restriction.
Sure, now, of course.
This little 10-year-old guy, a 10-year-old guy can be a plump 10-year-old guy or a skinny little guy. And if one of those nylon straps broke, it will snap his neck. And that could have been what happened, because as I'm listening to the conversation, I'm hearing that, you know, somebody got off the ride and the Velcro had released from the nylon strap and so on. So, you know, I mean, you take a chance when you go on those. Now, my granddaughter, at the beginning of the cruise, she didn't make the weight. She was 95 pounds. But after lining up for ice cream cone after ice cream cone,
then she could go on the ride.
She's 99 pounds.
Just one more wife out there in mint, please.
Yes.
But my husband, I have to say, to hand it to him, man is 70 years old. And I said, mister, you're going to step up here, because I'm not doing this. You know, I can barely get out of the kayak when it comes into the dock. But, you know, he did. He walked the plank. We've got pictures.
We'll have to see him someday, Karen.
Oh,
but we have to run.
Yes, yes, you do. But, I mean, my heart for this family is
the worst.
The worst of worst.
Yeah, it is.
So, all right, have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much, Karen. Was she the one that I said hurry up the other day to, and I felt really guilty for?
I think that might have been, yeah.
Oh, that was someone else. I got to be very careful here. Hi, Mike. You're our last call on this.
Oh, hi, Wendy. This is such a privilege to talk to you two.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are in my ears every day.
Oh.
You are just so, I just love you guys. You guys, you compliment each other so well.
Thank you. You look handsome, Bill.
Yeah, well, thank you, Wendy. You smell nice.
You guys are just so comfortable. It's just listening to you two. And, you know, Bill, I think I'm witty, but you're just at a whole nother level.
Well, you are
just so witty, and you are so kind.
Call every day, Mike. He's not that kind. We'll put you on every day.
He's a different kind.
It just flows out of you, Bill. It's like putting on a water faucet. It just flows out of you. It just comes out of you.
Thanks, Mike.
Weak bladder.
I'm actually 54, and I agree with you on the open. And
all right, I got to let him go.
He may have said a word you're not allowed to say on the radio.
Yeah, Mike, we appreciate all the compliments. I love you more with your potty mouth, but we can't put you on the air with the potty mouth. And there is a problem with the phone, because when you hit the button, it's supposed to turn the phone off the air.
Yeah, it didn't do it.
Because if I didn't pull the volume down on the phone, he could have kept
going. It would have been a problem.
You know, Kevin, you should need to reprimand Mike for swearing on the air. That's a problem.
When I was a kid, I always wanted so badly to hang glide. I thought, what would be more fun than hang gliding? I had seen movies of it.
It did look like fun.
Looks like fun. So that was my plan at some point. I thought I would skydive and anything like that, but hang gliding was a must. I couldn't wait. The kid whose locker was next to mine in high school, because of alphabetical order, died in a hang gliding accident.
Are you kidding me?
And I said to myself, that's the message I needed to hear. And I never wanted to hang glide again after that. I would never in a million years after hearing that. And I know it's like everything else we've talked about.
But you'll skydive?
It's a fluke thing. I would consider it.
Just admit it. You wouldn't do it.
No, I would do it. I wouldn't be.
You won't hang glide,
right.
But she'll skydive.
I don't know anyone who has perished in a skydiving accident.
Oh, my God. I know so many people.
Do you really?
The guy who ran one of the skydiving clubs, that is the biggest thing.
I don't know him. I know of him, but I knew this guy in high school. His locker was next to mine for 4 years. And now anytime I think about hang gliding, I think about that guy. So it does have some sort of residual effect, you know?
I got to just tell you, my finger's getting a workout. This is 2 days in a row. I've had to use the dump button one on Terry Nunn.
Yeah.
Although she wasn't on yesterday.
That was 2 days ago.
All right, so I can't wait till tomorrow. Let's see when I can use it again. I'm ready now.
Keep it ready. We need to take a break. We've got news coming your way next with Ryan and then more show. Stay where you are, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
One of my favorite songs.
Isn't this a great song?
Yeah.
Paul and Artie. Simon and Garfunkel. You know what their original name was before they were Simon and Garfunkel?
Yes, I do.
You can do this. What is it?
Tom and Jerry.
It is Tom and Jerry. You're absolutely right. I wish we had prizes. We don't have any prizes, Wendy. I hate to tell you this, but two of our greatest actors are involved in a show business feud.
Kevin Hart and who?
It's not Kevin Hart. Although that would be a good show business feud. I would side with whoever it was on the other side, no matter who it was.
You're the only one who really despises him.
I don't care for Kevin Hart at all. That should
be Robert De Niro.
It's not Robert De Niro. Two of our greatest actors, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vin Diesel.
Okay.
I don't know why that's funny, are in a show business feud.
It's very funny.
This sounds like a Marvel comic book more than a real thing, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like something you'd see at a comic book shop, that The Rock and Vin Diesel, The Rock and the Vin are fighting? Here's the story. This is from the Daily Beast, although several sources are also reporting this. Boy, it makes me sad to even think about this.
I thought I was your Daily Beast.
You are. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Jill, do not laugh at that. That is
please don't
funny.
Laugh at that. That's not meant to be funny. Dwayne The Rock Johnson reportedly called out Vin Diesel on Instagram, and now the two feuding co-stars are set to meet to squash this beef.
Who writes this crap?
This is really poorly written. I will admit that. And poorly read, too. I don't know who's reading it, but they should also go back to broadcast school. When Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vin Diesel last locked biceps... Yeah, this is terrible.
This is the worst writing ever.
This is awful journalism. They threw each other through a half a dozen walls, and they nearly flattened Rio. That was, of course, in the fictional world of Fast Five. And now it seems that silver screen hostility has bled out into the real world, and the fate of one of the most beloved and lucrative film franchises in Hollywood, as well as the universe itself, may hang in the balance. On Monday, here's the backstory. On Monday, now some of this uses language that's not suitable for everybody, so I will ask you if I can say these words, all right?
You're going to ask me on the air?
Yeah. Is that all right?
No.
Is that bad? On Monday, The Rock posted an angry message on Instagram directed at certain unprofessional candy bottoms.
I like it.
Can I say candy bottoms?
It works.
It better. Yep.
Candy bottoms. His words, not mine. All right. My words, not his.
That's way better.
On the set of Fast 8. Boy, where do they come up with the names for these movies?
Very creative.
Fast 8, it says here, is the eighth film in the Fast and Furious franchise. This is the one, Wendy, that has car chases.
Oh, excellent.
I don't know if the other ones have, but I guess in this one, there's going to be a big car chase.
Just one?
Yeah, and it's going to last 95 minutes.
Awesome.
All right, here's the quote. This is from The Rock.
You can't say that word.
I can say The Rock. This is my final week of shooting Fast and Furious 8, says The Rock. There's no other franchise that gets my blood boiling more than this one. An incredible, hardworking crew. Universal has been great partners as well. My female co-stars are always amazing, and I love them. _EM. My male co-stars, however, are a different story, says The Rock. Some conduct themselves as stand-up men and true professionals, while others don't. The ones that don't are too chicken excrement to do anything about it anyway.
They are candy bottoms, he says.
When you watch this movie next April, and it seems like I'm not acting in some of these scenes, well,
every time we watch you, you can say that about
any movie The Rock has ever done. Does this guy act? Does he know there's a camera on him? When you see, it says here, when you see this film and it seems like I'm not acting in some of the scenes and my blood is legit boiling, you're right, says The Rock. Now there are three certainties in life, it says in the article, life, death, and taxes, and do not mess with The Rock. This is a guy who, when asked how he knew that the United States had taken out Osama bin Laden before anyone else, responded, I got friends in high places and low places, said The Rock back then.
Wait. All right, first of all, The Rock's got to stop calling himself The Rock.
He calls himself, he does refer to himself in third person.
That's got to go. And
that's
so,
what you do.
So he had somebody, and he who did that song, I Got Friends in Low Places?
All country singers. Was that Garth Brooks?
Yeah, Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
So he got a tip from Garth Brooks to get a friend in higher up position to kill Osama bin Laden?
Well, that's kind of gray, but he's saying, The Rock is saying in his rock-like manner, I know people. When they're taking out a guy like Osama bin Laden, I know in advance. They contact The Rock.
Who does he think he... Now, is he acting now?
No, he's not acting.
With this tweet?
Right. No, this is just him being The Rock. He's just being The Rock. While rumors spread that The Rock was upset at Scott Eastwood...
Who's that?
Clint Eastwood's son.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Is he the director or something?
He's an actor.
Oh.
But I don't know, is he in... You'll find this hard to believe. I've never seen a minute of any of the Fast and Furious movies.
You haven't seen 1 through 7?
Mm-mm.
Nor have I.
Mm-mm. While rumors spread that The Rock was upset with Scott Eastwood, who by all accounts... Oh, I can't read this. It implies that Scott Eastwood isn't a good person.
A jerk?
Come on, you can do better than that. Come up with a good phrase.
I know.
All right. It
from the man who brought you candy bottom.
I don't know what euphemism I could use. It's all right. Let's play match game.
All right.
Blank bag.
Oh.
All right. They say that he seems to be a blank bag.
Yeah. There's really no synonym for that. There's nothing I can fill in blank with that.
All right. So TMZ is now reporting that it was none other. So they want to know who's behind this. Who's behind the war of words between The Rock and Scott Eastwood. So TMZ says, look no further than Vin Diesel, who plays Dominic Toretto. I didn't know that, did you?
In what?
In the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh.
That's his character's name, Dominic Toretto. The Rock's rant about unprofessional male co-stars was targeted at Vin Diesel, says TMZ. The two had a secret meeting. How could that be a secret? There's no one on the planet that look. There's no one in the galaxy that looks like The Rock or Vin Diesel. So if you saw them, the secret's over.
Yeah.
Right? The minute you saw them. Or else you could go, oh, the Hulk and the Thing are about to fight. Right? That's all you would know. The two had a secret meeting on the Fast 8 set on Tuesday, that's yesterday, to hash things out, production sources are telling TMZ. When The Rock went nuts on social media Monday night, claiming that certain male co-stars were not stand-up guys and that they were too chicken excrement to confront him, he was, in fact, referring to Vin. We're told that The Rock has butted heads with Vin during production.
That's because they're so similar. There's just jealousy there.
Right.
They're both just big, right, hunky,
right, non-actors. There's a lot of testosterone flowing between those two guys.
Oh, man. Too. It would be like a mist in the air. Like you could walk, like I could walk through it, and I all of a sudden would be calling those guys out to my detriment.
Yes.
They'd be looking at me.
Right. They would snap me like a pretzel. It says, all right, so they butted heads in the past, in part because VD is a producer. That's Vin Diesel, not venereal disease. And has made decisions that did not sit well with the former wrestling champ. That's The Rock. They added that The Rock is also a producer on the film. Eventually he'll direct, right? I hope he'll direct at some point.
Then he would put himself in it.
Wouldn't you like to be Meryl Streep and have The Rock direct you in a scene? Wouldn't that be great? Play it tougher. Be tougher. Our sources say that The Rock and Vin had a meeting on the Atlanta set on Tuesday, partly because tensions were running high and it was almost impossible to shoot scenes. That's because they couldn't memorize their lines.
They're the world's greatest actors.
They are the two world's greatest actors. We do not know if they resolved their issues, says TMZ. I don't want them mad at each other. It's Clash of the Titans.
We got to pick teams now. Are you Team Rock or Team Vin?
I don't know which to pick, Ryan.
I'm going Vin Diesel.
Why would you go Team Vin?
Because The Rock bugs me.
And Vin Diesel does not bug you.
They both bug me, but what, you're going The Rock?
Oh, my
Kevin?
God, all the way.
Kevin, why? Based on what?
I like The Rock.
Yeah?
I like The Rock because I like Kevin.
Thanks, Ryan. You can be Team Kevin.
Do I have to pick a team? Can't I just
we all
move
have to
another country?
Wendy, it's not that simple. We all must pick a team. That's what it's going to come to. You have to choose either The Rock.
And tomorrow you have to wear your colors.
Right.
The Rock is red. Extremely tan?
Yeah,
exactly. You're really bronzed?
Yeah, one's orange and one's red.
And oily.
I don't like them either.
You don't like either guy?
No.
Wendy, that's upsetting.
I know I said that wrong.
That's upsetting.
I can't pick one.
I want to see them do a stage production of The Odd Couple. Wouldn't that be fantastic? All right, we need to take a quick break. We've got more show coming your way. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini at 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11.
I showed you during lunch, and my timing couldn't have been better because I knew you were eating. I don't know why I showed you this picture while you were eating. I apologize. But there is a picture on the internet. Several news sources are carrying it. It's a animal that they cannot identify.
You fall prey to these things all the time, no pun intended, because it's an
animal.
No,
I do.
Like, there are weird creatures they find in the bottom of the sea.
Right.
You fixate on these strange creatures.
I don't know why I do, but I have my whole life. I'm not, as we've mentioned on the show many times, I'm not a pet lover, but I am fascinated. I'm fascinated by animals that science can't seem to explain. And every once in a while, they'll find something, like you said, in the bottom of the sea or in a jungle or in a forest somewhere. And they just found one. I want to find the exact place. I know it's in Siberia. I don't know how to say it. The Sakha Republic. Sakha. The Sakha Republic in northern Siberia.
She was in adult films.
Yeah, she was for a while. Yeah. I'll tell you what the story says, and then we can try our best to describe it. And Kevin, we can put the picture up on Facebook, right? All right.
Yeah, but don't look at it while you're eating, especially not chicken wings. Because it reminds me of, like, sort of a...
It looks there is a chicken like quality to this animal,
looks
but it
like
also
Madonna
looks
like Madonna with her arms. You know how her
arms have become
very sinewy.
I guess so. Yeah. So if it's some sort of Madonna chicken from prehistoric times, it says this bizarre mummified creature has been discovered at the heart of a diamond mine in the Sakha Republic. This is located in northern Siberia. The ancient monster, in quotes, could date back to between 252 and 66 million years ago.
And they just found it.
Yeah, it's the size of a dog, of a medium-sized dog. It's got huge fangs. It has
Here's an idea. Maybe it's a dog.
No.
Dogs have fangs.
Yeah, but not like this. This has all kinds of weird body parts kind of mixed together, doesn't it? When you see the picture of it, like its head doesn't match its torso, and then the legs are kind of, like you said, sinewy, but they bend in an almost spider-like way.
And there's like a hump back on it.
There's a hump,
an inverted hump.
Right.
It's like Baby Got Back. It's like
right.
The butt area is sticking up. It's very, it's really a combination of all animals when you think about it.
I see a chicken in there. I see a bat in there.
But it's big.
It's
bigger than a chicken and bigger than a bat and bigger than a bread box.
Yeah, I'd put it somewhere around a foot and a half to 2 feet tall. Is that about right? Somewhere in there?
I guess.
Yeah?
Have you seen a chicken that big?
Mm-mm.
Or a bat? God forbid?
No. Nope. The Siberian Times reports that the miners in this diamond mine who found the remains had been working on the... UDACHNAYA pipe diamond deposit. I don't speak Siberian.
Why are you spelling things.
Because I thought I might get extra credit for spelling it properly, but apparently not. Is that how you say it?
Eudaconia.
Eudaconia. Did I get the pipe part right? Pipe? Eudaconia. Yes. Pipe diamond deposit. It's an open pit diamond mine located just outside the Arctic Circle. The site was discovered in 1955, the diamond mine. Since then, it has yielded 350 million tons of ore, which contain, as you know, Wendy, because we talk about this a lot, rough diamonds. There's also been a number of unusual discoveries, such as that of a mystery red rock full of diamonds. Now, that would be cool to find.
Yeah, boy, how come we can't be on that dig?
Why is so much of the story about the diamond mine itself when this prehistoric monster is found? Like, shouldn't all the story be about that?
No, because they're mining diamonds, Bill.
Yeah.
This is just a weird creature they found.
To guard the diamonds, I bet. If this was Game of Thrones, this would be a small dragon to guard the diamonds.
It does have a skinny gargoyle look to it.
Doesn't it have? Yeah. Seriously, it's like if you saw this, it's like the gargoyle dragon family, right? But smaller than your standard gargoyle, I think. However, it says, no find has been as strange as the mummified monster that has been uncovered. Its origins are particularly puzzling because no one is capable just yet to say what this species is. That's the thing is, like, a lot of times when they find, like, the remains of some animal, you go, well, that's kind of like a wolf or that's kind of like a duck or something like this. But this just looks like all kinds of animals just stapled together.
It does look pretty weird.
It's like nothing that's ever been found before in the region, or the planet, I would say. The miners believe that they just stumbled upon the remains of a previously unknown species of dinosaurs.
Well, that could very well be.
Yeah. It has a... Except...
Because remember, dinosaurs had bird-like appearances.
Oh, very much so.
And this is like a bird-like thing with fangs.
But I'm not seeing any place, like a lot of times... Well, not all, I guess... I'm not seeing any place where the wings would fit. You know, I'm seeing kind of large spider-like legs, both on the top and on the bottom, but I don't see any kind of wing structure at all. Do you?
No, but look at an ostrich. And that's so prehistoric, and you don't really see wing buds. It's just kind of like a long neck, a beak, and then a round body on spindly legs.
Yeah, right. That's true. The theory as to whether or not this is a dinosaur has yet to be proven. The creature will therefore be taken for more analysis into the regional capital of Yucatusk. That's where I would take, if I found one of these, I'd say, Wendy, pack up the car. We're going to Yucatusk. Only they will know what this could possibly be. It says other hypotheses about this little monster's potential origin are that it might be the ancestor of a wolverine.
Kind of looks like that. Also keep in mind that a 1.7 kiloton atomic bomb was detonated about 322 feet underground to create the basin for this diamond mine in the 70s, in 1974. So maybe it's just some kind of mutated thing that is not dating back to 252 to 66 million years ago.
No, I think they can tell that this thing has been, this is millions of years old. You could tell the difference between something from the 70s and millions of years ago, right?
Yeah, one's not wearing bell bottoms.
Is this members only jacket millions of years ago? Is it from the 80s?
I think so.
Oh.
When did you have yours? Wasn't it the 80s?
I got mine in the 80s. Yes.
On discount? It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I have to tell you something on the air before we introduce you to our next guest. You hear things about sex slaves, sex trafficking, and you think, boy, somebody's got to get that under control in these faraway lands, these third world countries. I certainly don't think it happens in the United States, and I'm very blind to the fact that it happens right here in Chicago. So we have President and CEO of Selah Freedom, Elizabeth Fisher.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if a lot of people are going to be as shocked as I am to hear that this is going on in our own backyard here in the Chicago metro area.
I think they will be. I was.
Not just going on, but in terms of listing the cities, we're in the top five.
Right.
Chicago's in the top five.
Not just happening, it's thriving.
Yeah.
Thriving here with our own kids.
All right. How does this happen, first of all?
I know. It's not what you think, because I was the same as you. I was thinking this is a other world problem. But what happens in America, so I don't know why they gave it the same label. They should have called it something else. But human trafficking in America is literally the root of it is what gets my heart. It's the truth that one out of three little girls today are being sexually abused by someone they know. I know this is uplifting, but it's going to end really uplifting. I promise you. We're bringing solutions. It's going to be good. But one out of three little girls are sexually abused today, and one out of five little boys by the people that should be protecting them, right? And so this little girl, typically it starts 2, 3, 4 years old with the girls that we end up helping. By the time they're that little, this abuse starts at home, and they are told that this is your fault. You keep this secret. No one will believe you. If the mother does know, she doesn't defend them. And by 12 to 14, they can't take it anymore. So you take a little girl that's been used in that way, and she's finally like gets up the courage to run away. And she's like, I'm out of here. I could do something better. And she goes on the streets, right? The stats, within 48 hours, 80% of our own runaways are approached by a really skilled, really smooth predator.
And these girls, all they know, and some of these boys, is sexual things. Oh. So they're just, that's what they've been brought
well,
up
these
to
guys,
know.
They approached them and they said, the youngest in our program, she says she was 11 years old. She'd have been abused her entire life by her brothers, her dad. It was just this whole thing. And she said at 11, she's like, at 11, I was like, I'm out of here. So she ran away. And sure enough, a man comes up to her. She's like, I remember the first man. He's like in his 50s. He's like, hey, I'll give you $10 to have sex with me. She goes, you're not my dad. I could buy McDonald's. This is awesome. But they say within 48 hours, 80% of them will get coerced and approached by the one that could be. The girls will call them either a Romeo pimp or a gorilla pimp. So for this little girl, it was a gorilla pimp.
But help me understand this. If there's a child out there that's trying to escape this type of world of abuse, they have to know that this is still more abuse. I know there's money involved. So
what else do they know, though?
Well, you know what? Typically, like that guy for her, that's unusual for someone to be just straight up, I'll give you $10 for sex. But it's survival sex at that point. They'll have sex for McDonald's. But typically what happens is it's somebody out there that's like, hey, You run away, or you out away from home. I bet you need someone to take care of you.
You need some new clothes.
I know.
Let's get you a shower.
Yep.
And then
I bet your parents didn't know how to love you. I'll take care of you.
And
like,
who wouldn't fall for that? Honestly, if all you've suffered at the hands of your own family is abuse, somebody's paying attention to you at first in a non-sexual way, and they want to take care of you, you're going to be like, I'm all over this.
They'll invest 2 to 4 weeks. They call it the grooming stage.
Oh, this is disgusting.
They'll just spy on things, take care of them. And then the stats, once that happens, they're typically sold 15 to 40 times a day for up to 7 years.
Sold. I'm sorry. I'm a suburbanite. I don't get this.
Explain
this to me. Sold. Explain.
Well, it's something that just flips everything upside down, right? Because when we first started learning about this, we learned, you know, this is the stats. Everything's textbook, textbook, textbook. But in reality, there's a lot of guys out there that buy prostitutes, right? They buy girls. They don't realize that that girl might be 16 and this is who she is. And that's who these girls are. And that's the part that, like, when we got law enforcement on board and everyone started, like, law enforcement said, you mean this is the backstory to those 18 to 26-year-olds that are clogging our jails? I'm like, yeah, that's that
it
girl.
Is.
Yeah.
And you see it in the newspaper and breaking news all the time that a 16 and even younger year old girl has gone missing and everybody's out looking. Now I'm going to be worried that that's why they're gone.
I know. It makes you just look at everything again. It really does. It really does.
Explain this. As we mentioned a little while ago, Chicago's, I think, fifth right now in the nation in terms of sex trafficking, the exact thing you just described. So what's going on here that's making it so prevalent? Why is it so easy to have this going on in our city?
Well, we have a beautiful, amazing urban city with tons of money. And every time there's tons of money and there's an inequality of social economics, right? There's girls. There's just, you have more girls here per capita as well. I mean, there are men that are thinking that this is, I have one little girl, one story. She was abused, of course, and by 7 years old, her mom's boyfriend, all this stuff, ends up in foster care, reabused in foster care, put in this Christian school, abused. I mean, it's like that follows them. By the time she was 18, she said, I'm out of here. They're always talking about extended foster care. The girls are like, I don't want extended foster care. I want to get out. But she had nowhere to go because she had no safe family. So a girlfriend that had gotten out ahead of her said, I met these guys. They're awesome. They have a great house. They said you could come and we could all live there. And she goes, I just want to go to college. I managed to get out of high school. Will they help me go to college? She goes, they'll help you. They promise they'll help you.
So she said she was there 2 to 4 weeks, and they said, hey, girls, you're a little more money than we thought. Would you do me a favor? Our buddy owns a strip club. We just need you to dance a couple nights. Mm-hmm. And she's like, huh? So it flips everything a little bit, right? And so they have to start dancing at the club, and then he's like, you know what, girls, we need a little more money. If you could just do a couple of dates in the back room. Mm-hmm. Guys don't know. They don't know that this is a girl there that has no place to go, no other option. So there's just so many different nuances to it.
Yeah.
So it's every man's confusion, every woman. I mean, women are recruiters for this too. There's women out there that were sold their whole lives and now no one wants, so they turn
they're
into
madams.
The recruiter size.
Isn't
yes.
that the,
they become the
recruiter. I don't know
if recruiter.
They call it that anymore now, from madam to recruiter.
Yeah.
These young girls now, they're getting like a way of life. They're getting to live in a great house. They might have access to a good car. They're obviously making good money.
I've never met one that got to keep her money. You know, there's this big, it's a really interesting thing when you dig in on it. Every girl I speak to, it was her boyfriend, and yeah, he controlled the money.
So the trade-off is they have a place to stay, but the money goes...
Oh, we have had girls.
Bring them out.
Yeah, we have had girls that were trying to stash their own money because they were like, I got to get out of here. Yeah. And if they build up the courage to do it, they want to. One of them got caught. The guy scalped her. I mean, we get calls from jail. The girl just showed up. She's been scalped by her guy. So it's not, there's like the pretty women. I think of like, even remember Brooke Shields and Little Darlings when we were younger? Like, there's just no such thing as that.
Pretty woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty woman. And yeah. then, yeah. It's different. So all these right. little girls need to be given back their childhood. So that's really what we do, because they are abundantly all over the city of Chicago.
And without having Elizabeth Fisher here, president and CEO of Selah Freedom, we wouldn't know about this. I try to stay on top of things in the news, and still this falls under the radar and completely unaware of it. We'll tell you how you, the listener, can help. We'll continue talking about this. 312-981-7200 is the phone number to call. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Phil and Wendy at 720 WGN. Elizabeth Fisher in the studio with us, president and CEO of Selah Freedom. We'll tell you all about that. The website is selahfreedom.com, S-E-L-A-H, freedom.com. Elizabeth, you said you were originally from here. You left, you moved away. What brings you back to get into this organization, who is basically helping kids and men and women, boys and girls, I should say, who are being used in the sex trafficking business? And is this the same as prostitution? I feel stupid asking that question.
No, it's not
but...
a stupid question. It's not a stupid question because it's confusing. And, you know, prior to this big thing coming on the radar back in 2010, 11, 12, when we were all getting started in this, they were still arresting kids for mm-hmm. prostitution. Now, at least federally, every law has changed that anybody buying a minor for sex, any change, exchange that happens with a minor involved is arrested for human trafficking.
For human
so
trafficking.
The definite prostitution is gone. And the blurry lines is the laws are changing more and more that even if a girl turns 18, 19, 20 and they could prove that she has been forced and coerced into this life since she was a minor, mm-hmm. then you prove human trafficking mm-hmm. as well.
Okay. So you move away and then you decide to come back to Chicago because you have a mission to help rescue girls that have been victims of sex trafficking. And tell us about this.
Well, I did not move away to come back and have a mission. I moved away to chill out on the beach in Florida. And I had a group of girlfriends from Chicago that were like, hey, I think we're supposed to do something together. And I, after 1 year living in Florida relaxing, said, okay, I'll do an event with you guys. And it was something called Leadership Refresh for Women to Get mm-hmm. Restored. And my one friend said, you need a charity. Go in Florida. You know, we were doing it in Sarasota. I lived. She goes, go find a little underdog charity. Don't get the ones people raise money for over and over. Find a little one.
Yeah.
And there actually was no charity. We're the founders. We created Selah Freedom because when they said our local boys and girls are being sold for sex, I, like you said, well, what are you
Impossible.
Talking about? What's that? What do you mean? And they said, that's human trafficking. I'm like, no, human trafficking's Asia.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Not here.
And when I went back to the leadership team that we had built to do this event, the two women that are now my co-founders, they said, we know that's human trafficking. We feel called to give them a home. There's no solutions in the state of Florida. And at that time, there's definitely nothing happening in Chicago for housing and sustainability. And so that's how it began. My girlfriend started doing this. And then after, you know, watching what was happening in Florida and knowing Chicago was a top five city, the really only niche that Chicago is missing in this battle for human trafficking, because you guys have amazing organizations here, changing laws and doing prevention, but there's no housing for this girl that's 18 plus. You have a few beds for minors, but nothing for an 18-year-old.
But how do we fix it? There must be a way.
Oh, yeah. You know, the program that we, when we first found out about it back in 2010, 2011, we, last thing I wanted to do, you know, retire a girl here, we're trying to chill out, was to create something and try to wing it. So we're like, there has to be best practices. Is there anything around the country that we could copy? And we asked FBI, we asked national rescue agencies. They said, nothing in Florida, but they said there's one in Atlanta and there's one in Iowa. Who knew that Iowa, the I-80 truck stop, top spot for
kids
coming into sex trafficking.
Jeez.
Iowa. Huge hub. So we ended up going into a mentorship with the one out of Atlanta, and we would go up there, stay at their safe house, learn all their best practices. They gave us all their programming. So we really were able to lift a lot out of that. So we launched this. We created this thing. And now we're like the leading organization in the state of Florida, multiple campuses for housing and prevention and just solutions, giving these girls their lives back.
And you're doing something here in Evanston.
We were asked, there's a big niche, the need here. And so we were going to start right outside the city. I used to live in the North Shore, so it helps between Chicago and the North Shore. You need, we have like 300 volunteers for every home that we open because these girls don't know. Some of them don't even, they never learn to make a bed. They're just the trauma they've lived in. They need the life skills. They need people to come have game night. You know, you want to help them learn to teach them a dessert. One woman goes, I don't know how to do anything. I'm like, you know how to do something.
Yeah.
She goes, I knit. I go, come and knit. She goes, okay.
Yeah.
So now she comes every week. She calls it Chicks with Sticks. Because, you know, you had your funny aunts and cousins during Christmas. So everyone's needed.
I know that this is all new, but realistically, is it possible to rebound from a childhood like this? What you just described is horrendous. Yeah. Can a girl rebound realistically, do you think? Yeah,
absolutely. You know what? There's quite a few things that we put into the picture that really helps. But truth is that a girl that makes it out there, the resiliency to survive on the streets, being sold for 7 years, 15 to 40 times a day, you're alive. You make it to a program like Sela, you're a survivor and you're brilliant. And the resiliency, you will not believe what these girls. Most of our graduates are in college.
That's good news.
Amazing.
But I worry about the sustainability of a relationship when you've been just beaten down the way these kids have been beaten down.
I mean, the hardest thing is to help them realize you're not looking for a boyfriend, honey. Right. Let's take some time and let's
go
look
slow
at yourself.
With that.
Yeah. It's literally taking developmentally. If I get somebody who's 20, 21 years old, but they come into me, they're developmentally about 12. So think of your 12-year-old. And everything that you're teaching them, and all of that was missed. That's the gap.
Yeah.
So it's not a, like a 6-month program we have. We journey for 3 years usually. I mean, it's really.
It takes a while.
Oh, yeah. And it takes a village.
Yeah.
It takes, you know, everybody has to get involved and do their part, tutoring every aspect.
Now, you had a goal of $280,000 to open a home in Evanston to help the healing of these young women. You need to raise a little bit more money. Where can listeners go to contribute to that? And can they contact you if they, is this house already built? Is this?
You know what? We are, October 1 is when we take possession of the home.
Somebody donated a home, right?
Well, no, we got a second home donated. The first one, we're still on our business plan. We're going to be paying monthly for this house.
Yeah.
But we got a call from a home north, because the model is to have two homes. The first home is a 2 to 4 week, you see if they're ready. It's assessment home. Any girl could come.
Yeah.
Typically it's 7 to 8 times of intervention before someone that level of abuse will even stay to get help. So sometimes we're like, oh, there's number 4, there's number 5, but they know they're welcome. But if they're ready, then they move to our main campus, which will be closer to the city here.
Good.
And you can go to your website. Mm-hmm. It's selahfreedom.com, S-E-L-A-H, freedom.com. You can contribute if you'd like to. You still have to raise a little bit more money to achieve your goal.
Absolutely. A little more than 50 grand. Not bad. We could do it in a day.
And you have a Facebook page, I notice. Now,
yes.
I don't know how many people are listening who may be in this situation right now, that they're going somewhere, they're listening to the radio, and they're like, hey, that's me. I need help, but I don't know how to escape. What's their first step?
Oh, my goodness. Our first step is, you know, what they say is these girls typically are not often left alone unless they're in the bathroom. And not even in the bathroom, but in the stall. So we try to have, you know, in different states, they're putting up signs with the numbers for them to call. But if they call, there's a number 888-3737-888. That is the human trafficking hotline anywhere in the country, 888-3737-888. So a girl that's like, oh, my gosh, I mean, there's something for me. I could get out. Call.
888-3737-888.
And if you see something that looks odd, like sometimes you will see, you know, there's this guy driving this car and he's got these two girls in the back and they clearly don't all go together.
Yeah.
You know, just report it. There's no harm, no foul in starting to report things. The more we call the human trafficking hotline, the more resources they send to your city.
Let's get Chicago off that list of top five in sex trafficking, because I got to tell you, I'm completely shocked at that information that we found out today.
I know, but it's the greatest city. We're going to bring solutions. We're going to lock arms with everybody here, and we're going to give these girls their lives back.
Thanks for doing this. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what this must be like every day to deal with this in any aspect, but what you're doing is noble work. Elizabeth Fisher is her name again. SailorFreedom.com is the website to visit. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. We'll find out what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.